If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
What?
I didn't tell you what happened. No. I started having, like, my friends coming up to me and just telling me, like, really, like, rude, horrible rumors. And, like, the next thing I know, all, like, the exact same things they were telling me, like, ended up, like, on the internet.
Horrible.
And it got back to, like, Laguna and my parents.
What were the rumors?
They basically were saying that, like, me and Jason made, like, inappropriate videotapes.
Who does that?
I want you all to die.
Looking for some bling. Where's the most high-end?
This section right here.
What do you think is the best stuff here you got?
I would say this line here. It's all 18 karat gold, white gold, yellow gold.
Wow.
And now.
There we go. Sold.
Our feature presentation.
Hello.
Hello.
Guy's always f***ing late. I sit here and wait and wait. So tired of it. It's bullshit being late.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on a second. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and it's the 29th of the January. Good morning, Ralph Grumman. Good morning, Lisa May. Good morning, Psycho Mike.
Lisa Gay.
Lisa Kay.
Why would you subject people to that on a Monday morning, Bean? Why would you string together a series of clips from those people, from those shows?
From the hills?
To wake us up on a Monday morning
because
with that evil and repugnancy.
Despising them gives me a good buzz in the morning. It really does.
I want to go right back to effing bed. That's what I want to do. Just put my head under the pillows.
Ralph had to talk me out of a vigilante killing spree on those exact people. I was saying how I get
motivated. Oh, really?
Motivated.
He said, if you're going to kill anybody, that's who he wanted to kill if he could get away with it.
I get motivated to, like, go on this taxi driver type of, like,
sure.
to like, help the world, especially L.A. area. And I figure if, like, mm-hmm. people like that, insignificant, horrible celebutants, you know, everybody cheer me on. No judge would put me away. And Ralph said, you know, it's really not worth your energy. Those people are insignificant to the world. You're not taking out a bin Laden. Those people mean nothing.
Yeah.
I really thought about it. It's a good point.
They're gnats on the ass of society is what they are.
But would you take Heidi and Spencer out instead of bin Laden if you had the chance, Mike?
I don't know. It's a tough call, man. I mean, I know I'd be doing the world.
Really, yeah, what's bin Laden done today? Like, where's those people?
It's like Janet Jackson said, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah. You're saying he's a has-been Laden?
Yes.
What you're saying?
Oh.
Where's they're hurting us today?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Be here all week, unfortunately.
They are the least understandable celebrities in the world because, you know, say what you will about your Paris Hilton, for instance, but at least she's rich. Heidi and Spencer have nothing of interest except for the fact that their lives were put on TV.
They have access. They have access to our minds.
I guess.
That's the scary part.
I don't know. I came across that tape last night somehow, and I thought, just can't believe this was on TV and that these people are popular and that they sell magazines and that they go to red carpet events and that they get invited to parties and that people like them and want to be with them.
Well, I don't know about people liking them. Yeah. I agree to everything but that point.
Yeah.
How was your weekend, Bean? What'd you do? Is there something fun?
I know why you say that, because you know what a bad weekend I had.
I'm just curious. If you're partying, you know, maybe they had island days or something where you live,
no.
And it was a big festival. Maybe everyone out and picked boysenberries or something in the woods or whatever you do up
That's
there.
That's what Bean does.
Yeah, I know. He's an outdoorsman.
I drove 5 hours in the snow both ways to go retrieve my pig from cancer treatment in Central Oregon. That's how I spent my day yesterday, anyway. Wow. From
in case
the crack
you missed
of
it, people,
till late at night.
Bean's got his pig in a cancer center, and he's driving 5 hours in the snow back and forth to make sure the pig's okay.
Well, I was bringing him home. Last night, my friend Marty and I, we took his truck, and we went down and picked him up, put him in the trailer, and brought him home. So now he's back here. But yeah, it was a long ass day and white knuckle driving, man, with just snow and black ice. It was just rough.
Look, it's still a pig though, right?
It's my
it's
pig.
It's still
yeah.
bacon, right?
It's my pet who I love.
Still pork chops, right?
No, in fact, it's funny because he's been undergoing chemo for the last 10 days and I went down to visit him last.
What does that cost? By the way, what does it cost to get chemo for a pig?
I went down last weekend to see him, and the doctor, I was out there talking to the doctor, and she said, Now, I have to advise you, now that your pig has undergone chemotherapy, you understand that you have to pull him out of the food supply. And I'm thinking, A, he's 10, and so he's going to be the worst bacon in the world anyway at 10.
Yeah.
And B, do you think I have him down there in a hospital getting chemo because my plan is to eat him? She's like, well, I had to tell you. I just then, had to let you know.
Then your doctor said, Piggy Lake. That my suggestion to you, Mr. Baxter, Piggy Lake. Piggy Lake.
Ralph, pig? You have Reggie the Wonder Dog.
I do have Reggie. Don't even bring that freaking animal up to me.
I'm just saying, you know what the attraction
very
is like.
Very different.
You
know, dog, pig, very different.
Not
very
different, really.
That's food, dog, pet.
No. Pigs are that's very smart.
Yes,
but
they are.
That's an arbitrary assignment, though, is that one
and
is
I'm
food
assigning
and
it.
One is pet.
Right, and I'm assigning it.
But what I'm telling
that's
you
your
is
assignment,
that
should you choose to accept it.
What I'm telling you is that, you know, I've had Godzilla since he was 3 months old, and he's sweet and affectionate and friendly, and I just love him. I love him to death the same way you love Reggie the Wonder Dog.
Does he sleep at the foot of your bed and come when he's called and do tricks?
He's 600 pounds, so he doesn't actually, he's not in the house as much as he's
not
outside.
A pet. If it has to stay in a barn, it's not a pet, it's livestock.
That's
600 pounds.
It's just
much like
so.
His owner. Speaking of freaking pets. Oh, Reggie, this weekend.
What's Reggie?
All I did all weekend.
His problem?
All I did all weekend was follow Reggie around my house like he was a ticking time bomb.
Why? Oh, yeah, I understand. I thought about Reggie this weekend with all the rain.
Here's the thing. My wife was out of town this weekend.
Oh.
And Reggie is still a puppy. He's only 6, 7 months old. And like most small, short-haired dogs, doesn't care for the cold at all, likes the rain even less.
Yeah.
So you take him outside to go do his business, as we say it in the dog trade. And had no interest. Had no interest being out. Just could not scamper to get back to the house quick enough. Here's the problem. Now you got a dog that's full of pee and poop running around your house.
It's going to happen somewhere.
And you can't leave him alone for a second because he's going to explode. It's going to be all over the walls. So that's all I did. I just followed the dog around all weekend. That's all I did. And then eventually he would get to the point of bursting and he would go outside. He'd finally relieve himself. But it was just a nightmare. It was like watching a pot boil. It was horrible.
What does he do when you put a leash on him and take him outside and just stand out there with him in the rain waiting for him to go?
Freaks out. Just really? Freaks out. Does not want to be cold. Does not want to be wet. Just wants to be back inside again. That's all he wants to do. Sit in front of a space heater and chew a bone. That's all he lives for.
That sounds like a pretty good plan.
On a weekend like that. He just didn't want to do it. And so it was just a nightmare following him around. So don't get a puppy, people. That's what I'm telling you. Adopt an adult dog and rescue
there
or something.
There are benefits.
Freaking puppies are a nightmare. Can't wait for this dog to grow up.
First, they have the little razor-sharp puppy teeth, and they won't stop chewing your hand for months. And then they got to chew the furniture and pull up the carpet. Absent-minded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of a learning curve. I agree.
I say the same thing about children, too. Just adopt like an 18-year-old.
That's
forget about
no. A hot 18-year-old.
An Asian. Yeah.
Broad.
How's this new Miss America? She's 18, by the way. I did not see any pictures of her.
She's from Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Miss Michigan.
Anyone seen her?
She's okay. I think all those Miss Americas are sort of attractive in a purely pageant kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
They're very sort of antiseptic and not the least bit sexy to me. And she's attractive, but
I agree. But one of the things that was interesting about this year's pageant, ordinarily I don't even care, is that this was the year they were going to try to turn that upside down.
Yeah.
And remember, they made all the girls live in a house and they had to get makeovers. They had to try new hairstyles. They were trying to bring it into the 21st century. And I wondered if they succeeded. And now they're starting to crown hotties.
I saw some of the footage of the show, and you can change the pageant, but what you're not changing is the type of girl that enters a beauty pageant. And those girls all tend to be just prissy, stuck up sort of plastic girls, and they did have more interesting swimwear competition this year. A lot of girls wore bikinis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they had them doing like wacky stunts and stuff. They're trying to update the thing. They had it at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Vegas, I think is where they had the event. And it's just bad. No, just let it go, people. Miss America people, just let it go. Let that
fair.
Pageant go.
Hey,
yeah, the time has come and gone for the Miss America pageant.
Well, what channel is it on now? Remember, it was a network staple for years, and now it's on like the Learning Channel or something.
I thought it was. Wasn't it the CMT, the country
CMT,
channel?
CMT, that's what it is, yeah.
Oh, is that who has it now? Mm-hmm. It just is going further and further down the cable dial. I'm just saying that may be an indication that it is time to let it go. You could be right about that.
Speaking of the country music channel and those buffoons, those country bumpkins, I was in the movies this weekend going to see my beloved Rambo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Rambo, I love you so. And they had a bunch of trailers beforehand, including Witless Protection. Have you seen the trailer for Witless Protection?
No.
I have not.
Starring Larry the Cable Guy.
No.
His next feature film, where he plays a bumpkin country sheriff who accidentally stumbles onto a plot to kill somebody in the witness protection program, and he steps in to save the day. My hand hasn't been this tired since the first season of Baywatch.
Oh, no.
Oh,
that's not
yes.
the fresh comedy that Larry's bringing, is
oh,
it?
Oh, man! Man, you have no idea how I was screaming at the theater, at the screen when I was in the theater watching this thing.
What was Larry the Cable Guy's last occupation in the last movie that
Health Inspector.
Oh, he was a health inspector.
Yeah. Larry the Cable Guy Health Inspector.
Larry the Cable Guy Health Inspector had the tagline, "Have you ever farted so hard your back cracks?"
Yeah.
That was that.
That was the
promo.
Choice piece of dialogue they chose for that trailer.
Wow. He is inexplicably popular, is all I can say about Larry.
I don't think he's inexplicably popular. I think there's a huge, you know, segment of America that's tards, and they love that stuff. I mean, a huge, huge, huge population that will go to see that over and over and over again.
Yeah, and they got to be thinned. The herd has to be thinned.
I thought the show you were going to bring up that you saw promoted was the new Gone Country, which has debuted on the Country Music Television Channel. Have you heard about this one, Ryan?
I only heard about it this weekend. We were at Santa Anita Racetrack doing our microbrew festival, and Psycho Mike came up to me and explained to me the premise of this show.
Yes.
And I said, oh, that sounds horrible on so many
Dee
levels.
Dee Snider, Bobby Brown, Carney Wilson, Maureen McCormick from the Brady Bunch, and other celebrity, quote-unquote, are now in Nashville being schooled on how to write and perform country music. That's the reality show.
So they're not even all weekend. Musicians?
No. And but also on top of write country music, well, that's the ideal goal at the end of the show, but also all the other country life kind of activities that come along with living.
Yeah, they're bull riding and things like that, right?
Gutting pigs.
Because that's what everyone does.
Right, right.
Who lives in the
exactly,
South.
Exactly, yeah. Keith Urban's out there jumping on bulls and riding in the rodeos.
Well, that's the funniest part, too, especially Nashville. Nashville's so not like
so
the backwoods. I mean, it's the Beverly Hills of the South.
Yeah, right. That's bogus on every level. Why don't they just give them all cancer? Why don't they just do a reality show where they just give them cancer? Same thing as making them work in country music, isn't it? We'll just inject you with some cancer cells and then watch you die.
I'll tell you what, I'm not
going
driving
cancer, 10, new show.
10
going
hours
cancer.
Through the snow to get Barry, to get Bobby Brown home. I'll tell you that. Yeah. Let him die.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Honest. All right, well, we have an action-packed Kevin and Bean show today. Yes, our man Kevin is out today with family obligations, but we do still have a huge show, including an update on Brittany of a Thousand Voices, who I guess debuted a new one over the weekend. Now she's got some sort of Mexican character that's living inside of her. Have you guys heard about this?
No.
I have not. So does Yasmin.
Hey, what the heck?
Come on.
She really, and I don't know if she's putting this on for the benefit of the paparazzi or not, but she appears to now have turned into a woman with an official multiple personality disorder, and one doesn't know what the other one is doing.
Or so she claims.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if she's just doing it as a goof or if she's really that far mentally gone. But the stories that are being told about her, it sounds like one hand doesn't know what the other hand's doing anymore.
I don't think she has the intellect to pull it off. So it's got
to
be somewhat legitimate.
Well, an update on that. Also, Layla Ali is going to join us today. She, of course, the co-host of American Gladiators, which is just a huge breakout hit. I mean, I don't think even the network expected it was going to be the smash hit on television that it is with the revival.
They signed it up for a second season after like the second episode. They
said,
we need more of this. Yeah.
Ralph talks about the Rambo on the program today, I suspect.
Oh, loved me some Rambo.
Doug Kriegel has Channel 4 rain coverage for us.
Oh, my God!
Doug had a very busy weekend out there covering all of the storms. Was Doug reporting live from Staples Center while it was raining on him last night at the Lakers game? Did Doug make that? Did you see any of that, Mike?
I did. Oh, I heard. I was listening on the radio. But I guess, Southern California venue is not really prepared for this type of downpour.
I mean, what was the last time a basketball game was postponed due to rain?
Well, I don't remember rain. The last time I remember a basketball game being postponed due to moisture was in the mid-90s. Boston Gardens had the hockey floor melt through the wood. But that's the last time I can remember.
That's right. We'll talk to the director of the new U2 movie that's out, a concert movie shot in digital 3D. We've got that coming up just after 6 o'clock this morning. Also, you're not going to believe this, but every day it seems like there's hot new Scientology audio for you. And Ralph, you found the new one that you're going to present for us today as well.
This is a recruitment video that apparently they show you when you check into the center to get your personality test or whatever.
Really?
Apparently it's, I don't know, it's about 10 years old. But still, it's spectacular how they, the the metaphor they use for Scientology and the different allegories they draw between Scientology and the rest of life. It's amazing. And then they've got the celebrity endorsements at the end with Ann Archer and John Travolta and Kirstie mm-hmm. Alley. And just, you got to hear this. It's fantastic.
I just love that the most damning audio that has come in up the internet these days is from Scientology itself.
Yeah, they're
it's not
they're imploding.
People who are ripping the lid off of it. It's the people who are, you know, sneaking out the stuff that we that's been going on for a long time that we didn't know about.
It's so funny because last night was the SAG Awards.
Yes.
And Tom Cruise was the final presenter of the SAG Awards. And when he walked out on stage, he looked out in the audience, had the biggest chip on his shoulder, and they were all politely applauding. It was the most tense moment I've ever seen on any award show because everybody was completely uncomfortable with the fact that he was even there and saying anything. He didn't want to be there. They didn't want him to be there. They didn't want to address it. They didn't want to think about it. It was spectacular to watch him be so anal retentive.
Well, he's now more famous for being a Scientologist than he is for being an actor.
That's
for
sure.
Totally, yeah.
Wow, how about that? Anyway, all of that, plus, of course, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. It's Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, 5:45. We'll be right back with that after this on K-Rock. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for Monday. What's going on, Ralph?
Anybody go see Rambo? Anybody see my beloved Rambo besides me?
No.
You people suck.
No real.
It's people like you that caused Rambo to come in second to Meet the Spartans.
Well, I didn't
Shut up. Shut up.
It did. Meet the Spartans, number one at the box office this weekend. $19 million. Rambo was just behind it with like $18.7 million.
So can we now say that Carmen Electra is a bigger movie star than Sylvester Stallone?
Here's the thing. I saw a trailer for Meet the Spartans, which, if you don't know, is a comedy along the lines of sort of Scary Movie or Epic Movie, where they make fun of all different movies and they put all these parodies, jam them into a completely incomprehensible mm-hmm. film.
Mm-hmm. And unfunny by all
Yeah, yeah, right. And deadly, deadly dull. But they've got, in the trailer, they've got a Rambo parody in their movie, where Rambo comes out and goes, "Say hello to my little friend." And then he walks away, and then there's a midget dressed as Rambo firing a machine gun. And I thought to myself, are you effing kidding me? That they're doing a joke from a movie that came out 25 years ago? It wasn't even Sylvester Stallone. It was Al Pacino? Insane. Anyway, Rambo, I liked it. I thought it was real good. It's dark, though. It's not your good old fun 80s Rambo. It's not your action-adventure exhilarating 80s Rambo.
He tries political messages and stuff?
It's not, well, yeah, there's that. I mean, they talk about the civil war in Burma, which is a nightmare. Apparently, it's the longest civil war in the history of mankind or whatever. And it's just horrific. But they show all these atrocities of war, and all the violence is ultra-realistic sort of Saving Private Ryan kind of violence.
Yeah.
And it sort of takes the fun out of it, because you're seeing guys get their heads blown off by 50-caliber bullets and and just women being raped and people being burned with napalm and stuff. And it's horrible.
You can't really eat your popcorn when that's going on.
Literally, Lisa, it's funny you brought that up. I was like halfway through the popcorn. I was like, oh, man, it's hard to eat and watch this at the same time.
Can't really cheer.
Maybe no one. That's why no one's going. It's a bummer.
I saw the chart that's going around of all the comparisons of all the Rambo movies. And I guess 83 people killed in this Rambo movie compared to 33 in the last one, 12 in the second one, and 1 in the first one.
Oh, wow.
Killed by Sylvester Stallone. 83 people in this movie.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. He's a whirling dervish of death.
Yeah.
In this film. And here's the thing. More believable in this film as Rambo at 61 than he was as Rocky at 60 last year.
Dude.
I don't know what that has to say about the film or about the Rocky or about
or human growth hormones.
Yeah, right. Or, yes. Or our belief in mankind. But it's more believable to see him blow people away with a machine gun than it was to see him get in a ring with a fit black guy and hold his own.
Is his jaw reached a more reasonable shape? Is it?
No, it's still ridiculously misshapen thanks to all the hormones he's been using. But
was the movie subtitled?
It was not.
Really? Yeah. So you didn't get any of the dialogue from Sly?
No. No,
I'm waiting for the DVD so I can get the subtitles.
It's 3 lines of dialogue.
When you're pushed, to kill him becomes an easy breather.
Is that one?
Burma's a war zone.
Is that one?
Uh-huh. Live for something, die for nothing. You decide!
Well, we don't have weapons, Rambo.
You ain't changing nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you hear about this FCC court case?
Which one?
FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, our good friends, have on Friday, they released a decision where they are hitting ABC Television with $1.4 million in fines for an episode of NYPD Blue that ran in 2003.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
Yep.
Timely.
$1.4 million, Lisa.
Oh, come on.
Was this a language thing? Or
no.
Was this Sipowicz's butt or what?
This was an episode towards the end of the run of the show where Sipowicz starts dating the cop played by Charlotte Ross, mm-hmm. attractive buxom blonde. Mm-hmm. And he has a son, a young son, from his previous wife who passes away. So she starts living, they start a relationship, they're living together. And the kid accidentally walks in on her when she's going to get into the shower, walks in the bathroom and sees her naked and, like, freaks out. And the whole storyline was about this accident and what it means to the kid and how he sort of freaks out and how they have to sort of talk him off the ledge because he saw his soon-to-be stepmother naked.
So, in other words, it was hardly gratuitous sexual nudity.
Right. This was not sexual in the least.
Right.
And you see her naked butt. They shoot her from behind. He walks in the door, and you see her standing there, and you can see her butt from behind when they shoot the
That's it? It's her butt?
It's her butt, Lisa.
God, I wish we were done with this election.
FCC says they're going to hit ABC with a $27,500 fine for each of the 52 ABC-owned and affiliated stations that ran the episode.
Your butt ain't made for that!
Here's what I'm confused by. I agree with you, it's bogus, but doesn't a show like NYPD Blue have to go by the Standards and Practices Committee of ABC before it even airs? I mean, what didn't the network already sign off on putting it on? Now the FCC is just saying the network was wrong?
Well, they keep changing, they keep changing the rules.
Well, there are no rules. That's always been the problem. So
that's true.
You know, they can arbitrarily slap you for pretty much anything.
But seriously, something you could do 20 years ago, you can't do now. We've talked about that.
NYPD Blue showed butts for the entire 12 mm-hmm. years of their run.
Mm-hmm.
They were famous for the fact that you'd see male butts and female butts, and it was just, you know,
who
part of the
show. Who is going to be ruined for life by a butt?
It's incomprehensible. It really is. It must make us look like children to the rest of the world. They can't handle seeing a butt on television.
It's embarrassing.
It's completely embarrassing. Yeah. And it's ridiculous for ABC to get slapped like this. You know, they're a challenging decision. Good for them.
Thank God.
I can't comprehend it. It's insanity.
And who complains?
And it's a nice butt. On top of everything else, it's a really good butt. It's not like Sipowicz's butt. We had to sit through that one. No one cared. No one fined ABC when they showed Dennis Franz's ass.
Yep.
Anybody should be fined. It should be that episode. It's horrible. It's horrific. Still can't get it out of my mind.
With all the problems with media, that maybe the FCC could have other fights maybe
on their
plate.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know if you put fights on your plate, but I think you know what I mean.
Well, you can fight with a plate. You break it in half and cut somebody's throat. I saw Rambo do that.
Yeah.
By the way, when I was watching Rambo, I can't get this out of my head, that the witless protection program with Larry the Cable Guy. Another trailer for another movie, a horror movie, from the mind of Clive Barker.
Mm-hmm.
Starring the dude who was Will on Alias. Remember Sydney's friend?
Sure.
Cooper? What's his name? Anderson Cooper.
Bradley Cooper?
Bradley Cooper. Gary Cooper.
Isn't it Bradley?
Michael Cooper.
It's
Michael
Bradley
Cooper.
Cooper.
That's it. Anyway, he's this photographer who takes a picture of a guy who's a serial killer who murders people on the subway. Cuts them up like a butcher. Guts them and bleeds them and hits them over the head with a mallet, just like you do when you're killing an animal for food, right?
Okay.
And that's his modus operandi. And he's got it. So the photographer starts chasing him, this guy, and it's a long, protracted trailer full of gore and fear and scariness. And say, coming in February. And I'm kid you not, I laughed out loud when they showed you the title of the movie. Midnight Meat Train.
Oh, no.
Midnight Meat Train. I was like, I think Psycho Mike rented that last week. Midnight Meat Train. Are you effing me?
Really? That's just the working title. They changed that before it's released,
title.
Right?
From the mind of Clive Barker, Midnight Meat Train.
What's up with that?
Come on. That's the greatest name. That's like something I would make up when I couldn't think of the name of the movie. It's like when I was gone untraceable, downloading death last week.
Motherboard of Murder.
Yeah, Motherboard of Murder. I couldn't think of it, so I started making stuff up. If I couldn't think of the name of this movie, I'd call it, you know, that Midnight Meat Train movie.
Oh, my God.
That's actually the name. I howled. Everyone looked at me because I was laughing out loud. They're like, that's not a funny movie. It's like, Midnight Meat Train.
It does sound like they ought to be at Coachella, too.
Midnight Meat Train.
And what does Larry the Cable Guy do? Does he stop the subway?
No, that's a different movie.
Oh.
I want to talk to everyone connected to that film, though. When they pitch us Bradley Cooper for a movie we probably wouldn't take him for ordinarily, we have to talk to him and say, dude, Midnight Meat Train?
Maybe they looked at the initial success of Snakes on a Plane solely based on its title, and they said, look.
We need a very literal title for this film? Yeah. Well, So I'll line up to see Midnight Meat Train.
Good times.
I'm in.
I don't know if anybody watched the SAG Awards last night. I watch every year. They're one of the, it's my favorite award show, period. Because there's no chatter or patter or BS or production numbers or dancing or singing. Right. It's just a bunch of movie and TV stars coming up on stage accepting awards. It's pretty cool.
I saw a little bit of it. And the thing I like about it also is that it's, I think, the most legitimate of all the awards because it really is actors giving awards to actors.
Yeah.
You can't quibble with their choices because they know what's going on.
I still quibble. There's some quibbling.
Yeah, they send me forms to vote.
Yeah,
come on.
Lisa's voting, for God's
sakes. So, you've got to quibble a little bit.
How can you not quibble? She voted for everyone from Carpoolers. They weren't even nominated this year. That's
what
she was
saying.
She was writing in Carpoolers cast.
Here's Wicked your, cool, yeah?
Here's your award winners from last night's Screen Actors Guild Awards on television. Best performance by a male actor in a drama series, sort of a thank you and goodbye award, went to James Gandolfini for The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. Best performance by a female actor in a drama, the same thing. Edie Falco won for The Sopranos. Best male actor in a comedy, Alec Baldwin won for 30 Rock. Best female actor in a comedy, Tina Fey, also for 30 Rock.
That's
so
great.
Those awards were all paired up. Best ensemble in a drama series, The Sopranos naturally got it as a farewell gift. Best ensemble performance by a... best performance, rather, by an ensemble in a comedy series, The Office cast.
Oh, good.
Which I thought was appropriate. And in movies, best performance by a cast in a motion picture, No Country for Old Men won the big award. Mm-hmm. Ruby Dee won for supporting actress for American Gangster. Javier Bardem won for No Country for Old Men, a supporting actor role.
Thanks for the award, friendo.
It's the worst Javier Bardem
come
ever.
Come on!
Best female actor in a leading role went to Julie Christie from Away From Her. This is her second big award. Playing an Alzheimer's patient, and best male actor in the leading role, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
He's just going to win them all.
Yeah.
For
he
There
sure
Will
is.
Be Blood. He donated, he had not donated, but dedicated his award last night to Heath Ledger. Did a very poignant speech about Heath's work and what it meant to him. So he loves him some Heath. He was on Oprah Winfrey last week crying about Heath.
Really?
Yeah. Something going on with Danny and Heath.
Hmm. He's just trying to figure out a way to quit him.
Oh no, you didn't. See? Today's celebrity birthday is Alan Alda. Remember MASH, Hawkeye Pierce?
Of course.
72 years old today. Sarah McLachlan, a singer and songwriter. She is 40. This one's for Psycho Mike. Dan Spitz from Anthrax.
Yeah!
It's 45 years old today. Joey Fatone from NSYNC turns 31 years old. And Elijah Wood from Lord of the Rings. He was the head Gelfling, whatever they call them, with the little gnomes.
With Glick
Hobbit.
And...
yeah, the Glick and Spleef. He's 27 years old today.
I don't think he was a... I thought he was Frodo, wasn't he? He wasn't one of the goblins with the funky feet.
Yeah, Frodo's a hobbit.
But they're all hobbits.
Oh, Frodo was too? Frodo had the funky feet too?
Yeah.
Yes!
Okay.
How do you not know anything about Lord of the Rings? You didn't see those movies either, did you?
No, I did. I did see them, but I thought that his little helper people were all the weirdo gremlins or whatever they're goblins
they're
or whatever.
They're hobbits.
They were all hobbits.
Okay.
Except for Vigo, right?
Well, once they started teaming up, they brought in the giants and the archers and all that kind of crap.
Okay.
I did
not commit those films to memory.
Vigo was an elf.
Gandalf the gay wizard.
Vigo was an elf. He's like 6'4".
Vigo was an elf.
Wasn't he an elf?
Orlando Bloom, I think, was an elf.
Oh,
he had the pointy
Vigo?
Ears
oh,
and whatnot.
Yeah,
Vigo was like
Orlando
a,
Bloom, right?
He had a tail. I don't know. Vigo had a tail.
I don't know what he was. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll figure it out. But Elijah Wood is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Next half hour, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, we will unveil details on destination number 4 of the K-Rock World Tour 2008. I think you're going to be very pleased, particularly if you own fingerless gloves. I can say no more. What about this anonymous video that is sweeping the internet, Ralph? It's been a while since something has ended up on YouTube that has created this kind of spark.
Fascinating stuff. Apparently, this group that calls itself Anonymous has been sparked to action by the influx of video that's hitting the internet with Tom Cruise talking about Scientology and all these other videos that have come to light. And they have decided to take it upon themselves to, in their own words, declare war on Scientology, which is gutsy at best.
No kidding. Let's hear a little bit of the Anonymous video, and then we have someone from the group Anonymous that we'll be speaking with here on K-Rock. Roll it.
Hello. Leaders of Scientology, we are Anonymous. Over the years, we have been watching you, your campaigns of misinformation, your suppression of dissent, your litigious nature. All of these things have caught our eye. With the leakage of your latest propaganda video into mainstream circulation, the extent of your malign influence over those who have come to trust you as leaders has been made clear to us. Anonymous has therefore decided that your organization should be destroyed.
Now, the first thing you think when you see the video and hear the audio is Dr. Hawking has never really spoken out on religion much before. And that's a surprise to me that at this stage of the
this
game...
This isn't Stephen Hawking! They're simply using a computerized voice to
which
get their message across.
Which is smart.
You don't want to be identified, hence the name Anonymous, I'm guessing.
Sure. And for the same reason, we're going to be using a voice changer here at K-Rock as we speak with Anonymous on the phone right now on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Anonymous.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Well, first of all, congratulations on the attention that your group has been receiving. I mean, I don't know what kind of impact you were expecting when the video went up last week, but it certainly, I imagine it has exceeded your expectations.
You know, it definitely is larger than anything we've ever done before. But, I mean, as we state right in the video, Anonymous is legion, and there are millions of us, and when millions of people band together, you can definitely get some attention, especially on something that's a hot-button issue like this is.
Anonymous, you mentioned this is larger than anything you've done before. Has the group been in existence for a while?
Yes, it has been. Without going into the history of Anonymous, it's loosely based around several different sites on the internet that I won't mention for their reasons. There are millions and millions of members that consider themselves a part of Anonymous. Now, within our actual organization, the people that are actively pursuing this ranges from about 800 to 1,000 on any given night, depending on, you know, what's happening, what's being done.
Right.
Now, a lot of people would say, look, I'm not into Scientology. I don't, I'm not a Scientologist. I don't care about Scientology. But live and let live. What's the, why go to all this effort to, quote unquote, bring them down or destroy them? What would you say to that?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that question, actually. Let me take a minute at this point in time to say, we, as an organization, a lot of times do things, we have a code word or I guess an inside joke amongst us for the lulz, for our own enjoyment, for laughter, because it amuses us. With this particular effort, this particular endeavor, we've really definitely branched out from doing things just because it amuses us to a point where a lot of us have become aware of many of the things that are going on inside Scientology and are actually very appalled by it. I personally spoke with a woman who asked not to be named for obvious reasons, who had her family destroyed by Scientology. She was expelled from Scientology and her family left her. They are part of the Church of Scientology and they won't speak to her anymore because she is considered a suppressive person. And so, we're actually changing the course of our endeavors. I'd like to address this before it gets brought up. I know a lot of the media attention we've been getting has been focusing on things like distributed denial of service and other activities that have been going on that are sort of malicious in nature. We're definitely branching away from that. We want to start asking Scientology questions. Why are you suppressing your people? Why are you breaking out families? Why are you forcing your members to stop taking needed medications and getting needed medical treatment and, you know, in the case of people like Lisa McPherson, killing them.
But let me ask you this, Anonymous, and again, with all due respect, I mean, there are a lot of religions that do a lot of wacky things. There are a lot of religions that have ended up with members who have ended, you know, have had bad things happen to them because of their association with the church. I mean, the thing that you're talking about with excommunicating somebody from a family, I mean, that goes on in the Amish community too, but, you're not going after them. I mean, again, why specifically Scientology?
You know, I cannot answer that question directly. That is something that we've talked about amongst our, you know, on the channels that we're communicating via. And, you know, a lot of people have said, I personally was raised Christian, so I understand, you know, a lot of people are like, well, why aren't we going after this organization and this organization? And I've personally seen the hypocrisy within the Christian church and, you know, have definitely, I guess, walked away from that in a sense. I guess the thing that we're really, really focusing on with Scientology is the fact that they're getting so big right now, and a lot of people are starting to pay attention to them. And we want to be, you know, we want to be a force that says, you know, yeah, you have the freedom to choose what religion you're going to be. Everyone does. We can't stop that. Mm-hmm. And frankly, we aren't exactly fighting a war against the beliefs of Scientology. We're fighting a war against an organization that we feel is suppressive, that we feel destroys the lives of its followers, that we feel, you know, I mean, they require millions and millions and millions of dollars from their followers to even gain a certain level of understanding of what they're believing in, and we don't feel that that's right. We have a saying amongst us, and it's at the end of our videos, knowledge is free. And we want to make sure that people know what they're getting into before they get into it.
And part of that, Anonymous, is you have released some information that ordinarily you'd have to pay for in order to get access to with Scientology, right?
Yes, we have. We have released online several documents that normally would be the kind of thing that you would have to be an upper-level Scientologist to get. I can't say exactly how we got those.
Right.
I'm not in contact with the person who got them even. That was another rogue cell within our organization, as there are many. But we did release those documents. They are being posted on several websites where, you know, we have people mirroring them over and over and over and over and copying them from one place to another so that they can't be taken off and eradicated.
Is Scientology actively trying to get those taken down?
As far as we know, yes. We have seen several of our efforts to speak out against them being met with legal resistance. YouTube has taken down several of our videos. They haven't told us specifically why, but we're going to guess that it's because Scientology serves them some sort of letter saying that,
right,
you know, there would be legal action if not, and we expected that. We know that we are fighting an organization that has an impressive legal group to them, an impressive legal presence to them, and that's part of the reason why we're changing the direction of our protests and of our attempts from things like DDoS, which are at their core illegal, to things like asking questions, moving into the streets, moving into the public sector.
So the things you're referencing are like hacking into the Scientology websites and having them temporarily closed down, that type of thing.
It's not even hacking. It's a lower form thereof. It's something that people we call script kiddies do. It's really just sending so much information to a website server that it overloads it, and they don't have enough bandwidth to handle it. The website gets shut down.
I see.
We're trying to move away from that because it is a legal issue and because it's not getting us the sort of recognition that we want.
And one of your points is that you want to continue having free speech on the internet, and you're all for a free internet, right? So you probably wouldn't want to
do... Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, and you know that's something that we've had to think about within our own organization and talk about. And you know, there's been numerous conference calls, and there are those of us who, you know, have each other's names and numbers, and who are, I would consider, friends that are you know, working around the clock. I mean, I'm working on about 3 hours of sleep right now because we got this this call dropped in our laps at 2 o'clock last night, and we had to, you know, quick come up with, okay, who's going to do it, and so we're working around the clock to really make sure that everything we're doing is in line with what we want people to hear.
Mm-hmm. This is Anonymous that's on the phone right now. If you're just joining us here on the World Famous K-Rock, a member of the group that you may have heard about declaring war on Scientology, to use the terms of the headline of the National Post. This article, by the way, says one of the things that spurned your organization into action just recently is you saw how quickly Scientology tried to close down the posting of the famous Tom Cruise video from a couple weeks ago. But I would ask you, do they have a right to control their own the stuff that they own that they have copyrights for?
I would say that to a certain extent, everybody has the right to copyrighted material. I personally am my other employment, my other, you know, my real life, I guess you could say, is within the media business myself, and so I definitely understand the need to control copyrighted material. I have to explain copyright laws to people on a daily basis. But on the other hand, it depends on what the suppression of copyrighted materials is being used for. If it's a copyrighted material that they simply don't want out because they're going to be losing so much money on it, then yes, I completely understand. I'm totally against illegal downloading. I'm totally against, you know, downloading movies. I get on my friends for it all the time. But when it comes to something like that, something that is, I guess, giving people a glance into something that they might be thinking about, something that they might want to dive deeper into, and then suddenly there's this video online and they're like, oh, well, maybe I should think about this a little more, then that's something that I believe should be allowed to stay up, to stay, you know, online, and to not be suppressed just because it's a copyrighted thing.
For the public good, right.
Because it's not as if you could purchase this video if you wanted to anyway.
No, no. And a lot of, you know, a lot of the copyrighted material that Scientology has, we believe, should be allowed to be public domain, because it's one of those things that you can't join a religion without knowing exactly what it's saying. That's one of the reasons that I'm not an incredibly religious person anymore, is because I was raised within a certain religion, and when I found out exactly what it was saying, and when I was allowed to delve deeper and, you know, got the mental capacity to delve deeper into it, I started finding things that were upsetting to me. And fortunately, I was able to get out without, you know, much major trauma. My father still speaks to me. My mother still speaks to me. You know, my family definitely is very supportive of me, love me. They don't necessarily agree with where I'm going religiously, but they're all right with that. That's not the case with Scientology, and we believe that, you know, you should be allowed to make that decision with a fully informed knowledge base.
Well, I think we agree with you on that. That's one of the discussions we've had on this show all the time, is say what you will about the other religions, you can at least pick up for free a book and find out what they believe. But that's not the case. All right, we're almost out of time, Anonymous, but I have to ask you this. Why is it your group chooses to do it this way in the shadows rather than just coming out, going on television, writing your congressman, having rallies? Why not be public with it in your displeasure for Scientology? Why do you go this route instead?
Well, I'm very, very glad you asked that question. We are starting to do that. February 10th, and I'd like to, you know, broadcast this to all your listeners as well. February 10th is going to be our worldwide public rally, if you will, our worldwide movement from, you know, the privacy of our personal channels into the real world, the public sector. We are going to be gathering in protest at churches of Scientology around the world at 11 a.m. local time, and protesting Scientology's methods, protesting what they're doing, and asking them to answer for many of the abuses that they have perpetrated against their followers, against their critics, against just humanity in general, in my opinion. And we're very, very excited about that. We would like to ask anyone out there who may be interested in, you know, in joining us, please do come down to your local Church of Scientology. It's going to be a peaceful raid. We're starting to stress a very, very non-violent perspective, which is, you know, why we're moving away, like I said, from the malicious attacks on the internet. We want to start moving out of that and move into the world. And get
okay. Anonymous, can I ask you, I think it's great that you're going to start becoming more public come February the 10th, but as part of the Anonymous belief, is that you have some actual concerns for your own safety or repercussions from the Church of Scientology?
We do. However, we're definitely taking precautions against that. We're definitely, you know, doing things like contacting the authorities in whatever town we're going to be protesting in ahead of time. We're making sure that we're well read on the laws in that town, and that we know exactly what needs to be done to make sure that we remain safe and to make sure that we don't break any laws, we don't step on any toes, and that, you know, really, all in all, the message that comes out at the end of the day is that, you know, this is a group that wants to make sure the truth is heard and wants to make sure that people are making informed decisions. We don't want
okay.
to have any of our members getting hurt, anything like that. So we're being careful.
Is there a last question for you, Anonymous? Then we must go. Is there a website you want to give out that is a good place for our listeners to go as a clearinghouse for all the information that you've been telling us here this morning?
At this point, there are numerous different websites. The one that I would say is going to be the best is going to be zenu.net. That is the website of Operation Clambake. I'll spell it out for you. It's xenu.net. Okay. And Operation Clambake is comprised of numerous former Scientologists who have been working with us to really change our direction and make sure that we're being effective. They're incredibly brave people. And I would definitely think that any material found on their website is going to be very in line with what I've been saying today.
Okay, great, because that'll give people the update on February 10th and the other things that are going on. All right, Anonymous, very good. Thank you, he or she, for joining us here this morning. We've enjoyed talking to you, and we've enjoyed getting some more information about your group. Stay in touch, okay?
Yes, and thank you very much. Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye.
And all your listeners and everyone.
Thank you.
I just want to say to Anonymous, and I don't know if he or she is even in the listening area, but just be careful. Look at what Scientology did to Heath Ledger. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh.
It's just a warning. That's
and
all.
Kevin.
And Kevin, right. Yeah. Guy who used to be on this show.
That's
it's
right.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Paparazzi's way in the distance.
Guys, come on over here. Come here. No, closer.
They're,
closer.
They're chasing Brittany.
A little closer. A little closer. There we go. That's better.
Miss Kevin. Never thought I'd say that.
Hey.
Speaking of Britney, great story coming out, not about Britney, but regarding her from George Clooney, who tells Newsweek magazine that he had quite a scare recently. He was in his home in Beverly Hills, I'm guessing it is, and he recently heard helicopters flying over his house. He was afraid that there had been some sort of prison break, that maybe the cops were trying to find an escaped criminal, and he was afraid that maybe that criminal was on his grounds.
Yes.
So he gets out there with a flashlight, and he's going to call security. And it turns out they were there to monitor Britney's meltdown. This was when they were bringing her out in the stretcher.
Oh. And everybody and their brother showed up.
And the copters were overshooting from overhead, and he thought it was some sort of raid.
Oh, man.
So George said he is now looking for a new home.
Oh, I don't blame him.
He wants to get the hell out of that neighborhood. Can you imagine what it must be like to live in that neighborhood?
Horrible.
With all that going on all the time.
Yeah.
And what do the 100 paparazzi do day and night out in front of her house when they've got to pee or they got to throw trash away or something like that? I mean, is it just a disaster on that street?
They go in
it's
her
like
flower
a homeless
bed.
Encampment.
Yeah, that's what it is. They go in her flower bed and they fertilize, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I want to apologize to Bean and to Lisa May.
Why?
What happened?
Because I was doing a lot of mocking of that Marion Cotillard. Who's
oh,
got
yeah.
the Oscar nomination for La Vie en Rose.
Yes.
She's a beautiful woman, isn't
until
she,
I saw her last night on the SAG Awards.
That's what I'm talking
and
about.
And I was like, jumping Jiminy Cricket. Look how hot she is.
She really is.
People who have only seen the movie or seen posters or pictures from the movie go, well, why do people care about that old hag? And that's what's remarkable about her performance in this movie is she plays this French singer over the course of like 50 years of her life, and you can't believe it's the same woman as the actor standing in front of you.
Yeah, she was at the... SAG Awards last night, and I'm telling you, man, by gal, she's hot.
That's the thing.
And she talks with that little accent. These are the men who are nominated for Best Actor.
I'm like, oh! Michael would say, tissue! That's what I said.
Yeah, you can't believe it's the same woman when you watch this movie. It's such a transformation.
Anyway, the 14th Annual Screen Actor Guild Awards were held last night, thanks to a waiver from the Writers Guild of America. And it was the smartest thing they could have done, the Writers Guild, because almost every actor who got up there at some point said, power to people, solidarity with the writers, thank you for the writers for giving me all the great words that I say, and blah, blah,
great.
Blah, blah. So it was a nice PR thing for them. Here's who won the big awards of one of my favorite award shows of the year. Best Male Actor in a Leading Role, Daniel Day-Lewis won for There Will Be Blood. Best Female Actor in a Leading Role in a Motion Picture, Julie Christie for Away From Her. Beat out Marion Cotillard. I don't know how that happened. My favorite actress in the world.
Now you're upset.
Best performance by a male actor in a supporting role in a movie, Javier Bardem.
Yeah.
No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
All right, do your obligatory, horrible Javier Bardem impression.
I like his performance.
Just do it.
I must for the sunflower seeds.
Come on!
Wait, I already saw
Mayor
a
Vera
few minutes.
On lewds.
I want you to know he had the choice to let you live.
I only saw a few minutes of the SAG Awards last night, Ralph, because once Zac Efron presented, there was no reason for me to keep watching. I already tuned in to see my sweet Zac on the TV. But didn't you think that Javier Bardem's speech was so sincere and lovely? I mean, it really was. I mean, everybody gets up there and says, I'm happy to be in the company of these other astonishing actors in, you know, that are nominated with me. But you really got the sense that he's the Spanish guy who can't believe he's been accepted as a big Hollywood star. And it was a very humble and nice moment, I thought.
I think it is trippier for actors who come from foreign countries who grow up on American films to be in Hollywood making mainstream American movies and be amongst movie stars. I think it's got to be a bit of a mind F for those guys. So they do.
Now you're in a movie and in a category with Tommy Lee Jones, somebody you may have really looked up to before you ever even started as an actor.
Yeah. And the cast won for also for Best Cast in a Motion Picture. And Josh Brolin got up and gave a very funny acceptance speech, too, where he said, the Coen brothers are basically weird little men, and they made a weird little movie, whether you like the ending or not, he said. So,
yeah, when are they going to release the ending? Are they saving that for the DVD?
Oh, how dare you.
Are we going to one day find out?
Best female actor in a supporting role, Ruby Dee for American Gangsta. Yeah, yo, yo. Best actor in a drama series, James Gandolfini for The Sopranos. Edie Falco won for Best Female Actor in a Series. The entire cast won for Best Ensemble in a Drama. Alec Baldwin and Tina Fey picked up awards for Actor and Actress for 30 Rock. And Best Comedy Ensemble went to The Office. So congratulations. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office. Rambo got beaten by the Spartans.
Ouch.
Pretty lackluster weekend at the movies in general. The number one movie, Meet the Spartans, only made $18.7 million in its debut.
Yeah.
Rambo was right behind it with $18.2 million. 27 Dresses made $13.8 million, good enough to be number three. Then Cloverfield, number five, was Untraceable in its debut, made $11 million.
Juno. Unwatchable, I hear.
How dare you, sir?
That's what I hear.
It's Diane Lane, who looked great last night, by the way. She's married to Josh Brolin, so they were hanging out at the awards. Juno was number six.
Juno!
The Bucket List, number seven. There Will Be Blood, number eight. National Treasure Book of Secrets was number nine. And Mad Money. Now, how that show got into a national theater, I have no idea. Because there's Kramer, right? He's on there and he's talking about how to invest your money and everything.
No. This is ridiculous.
The guy talked about stock tips and they made a movie out of it. Well, and they put it in theaters and then they expect people to go see it. It's ridiculous.
No, you're confused.
Ralph, I mean,
you're
the economy's a big issue right now.
I know,
I mean,
but
obviously.
This is not the Jim Cramer
talk show.
This is not.
About, what? Should I put my money in Pillsbury? Yeah, I heard that dough is rising.
Mad Money. No, you're confused, Ralph. Mad Money is a show that is set in the 60s advertising world of New York City.
No!
That's what it's about.
No, that's Mad Men.
Well, then what the hell is this Mad Money?
Okay.
This
Alfred Newman comes out
and
he
got a gap in his teeth.
Yeah.
That's Mad Magazine.
I give up on all of it.
I believe it's the Queen Latifah Katie Holmes movie with Diana.
I thought, wait. Paul Reiser's living in New York City with Helen Hunt?
Shut up. No, that's mad about you, Mike. Come on.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Mad About You, Mike.
Yes.
Mad props. Apparently this morning around 5:20, Bill Handel played Brow Down on KFI.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Getting a ton of emails and calls from the listeners saying Bill Handel, 5:20 a.m., played Brow Down. Talked about how much he loved the song in the video. Did not mention Psycho Mike or the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way.
Bastard.
You know what, though?
You thieving bastard. Bill Handel, if you can hear me, you're a thieving bastard.
I doubt Bill Handel tried to play it off as if he did it himself or his show
did it. I don't think he did either. I think he just played it because it's funny, but then didn't give any props to the people who put it together, namely you.
Right.
And secondly, the Kevin and Bean Show.
And thank you, Ralph, for
and I am declaring an anonymous war on Bill Handel. I will bring him down. He will be systematically destroyed.
I appreciate that.
It's not
that.
Anonymous then, I guess, if I just said it.
But. I appreciate that you giving me props for that and letting everybody know that I was behind that video and that song. But, you know, we pull a lot of stuff from YouTube all day and don't give credit to the artist. I mean, it's just once it's up on YouTube,
pull a bit from the Ryan Seacrest show off of YouTube and it's like, hey, isn't this funny? Hey, here's some material. Ooh, who knows where this came from?
Yeah, and it does say right there on the YouTube, when you pull up the link of Brow Down, I mean, it says in big bold letters, K-Rock, Los Angeles, Kevin and Bean Show, Lightning Scorsese, Psycho Mike.
Of course it does.
Mm. So, all right. Bill Handel, you suck.
It's different rules over there on AM, I guess.
Yeah, they can steal whatever they want over there.
That's fine. Look at Petros and Money. He's singing Firecrotch all day, ad nauseum.
See, that's what I'm talking
about.
Bastards.
They don't even give Omar credit for writing that.
How dare you? You're
going to start bringing people down, people. People. I mean,
that
people.
Is so true, Dick.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Today's celebrity birthday is Alan Alda. You remember him from MASH. He's 72 years old today. Joey Fatone from NSYNC turns 31.
I think that could be Fatone.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Fatone.
All right, I'm wrong then.
Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys is 28 years old today. Elijah Wood from Lord of the Rings turns 27. Dan Spitz from Anthrax is 45. Dave Sharp, guitarist for The Alarm, turns 49. And the Lego celebrates its 50th birthday today. Happy birthday to the Lego brick.
I like Lego.
Legos.
Only 50 years old. Huh?
Only 50. We've had Legos for 50 years. Oh, how many times I enjoyed the Legos as a youth. I'd build myself a little Lego vagina.
Seems abrasive.
Scrape myself up something horrible, but 10, what are you going to do? It's the best you could do, you know? What am I going to do? You get a hold of a fleshlight or anything. You know what I'm saying?
A pillow with a plastic bag, make a cut in a pillow.
You're gross. Stop
it. Call that a fifi in jail.
Fifi. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Lisa, what are we going to do with our little friend Britt Britt? What are we going to do with her?
Oh, it's so sad. She's really spiraling down quickly.
It is a meltdown, and there are so many different ways in which she is melting down, but one of the most public ones is that she no longer sounds like Britney Spears. Now it's just a wide variety of accents. She's had the British accent, now she's got a new accent I'll tell you about in a second, and we don't know where this is coming from, if this is a multiple personality disorder, where she thinks she's different people when she doesn't talk like Britney anymore, but we thought we got to find out the deal here, so we've got Britney on the line right now. Good morning, Britt.
Morning, y'all.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
See, now this sounds like the Britney that we've come to know and love over the years. You sound normal. How do you feel this morning?
Bean, I'm like totally normal.
Well, so the media are just making stuff up when they talk about all the crazy voices that you've been putting on when you've been out in public lately?
I don't know what y'all are talking about. I'm completely normal.
People magazine says Britney Spears has a new accessory to go with her pink wig, a British accent. In the last several weeks, Spears, 26, has been videotaped numerous times trading her Louisiana twang for UK inflections. What's that about?
Hello, governor.
That's what we heard. That's exactly it.
Cheerio.
Why are you doing that, Brittany? You're from Louisiana. You're not from London. Brittany?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
What? Oasis, Coldplay.
Okay, you're just naming things from England right now. Why are you doing this?
I like Jude Law.
What?
Okay.
Oh, Jude Law. I don't even understand her accent.
Here's what TMZ reported over the weekend. Here comes another personality. This one sounds like Asian mixed with Mexican. Britney has been using an English accent for some time now, and like with everything else in her life, she's apparently bored with it. The new and improved accent sounds like a cross between Chinese and Spanish. What's going on there?
I don't know what you're talking about, Round 9. How you doing?
Wow.
Britney?
Yeah, this is Britney. What you want, Round 9?
This, you're not Britney Spears. What are you doing?
I am Britney Spears. Ooh, oops, I did it again. Look at me raise my children poorly. Look how much I'm Britney. I'm going to like shave my head again.
Okay, first of all, this can't be Britney. But second of all, if it is, I seriously think you need to get immediately to a psychiatrist. You have a multiple personality disorder. You seem to have all these different people living inside of you.
Oh, I can't wait. Go to Kitten. Buy some expensive T-shirts.
Well, that does sound like Britney.
I love shopping. I love your round-eye clothing and other products that are mostly made in Japan or China.
Now, this TMZ report says that it's a cross between Asian and Mexican. I'm hearing a lot of Asian, not much Mexican.
Say hello to my little friend.
Okay.
How about Cuban? Is that close enough for you?
Brittany?
Oh, God in Himmel, I cannot believe that I'm talking in so many different voices. Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles.
You don't think this is a problem? You don't think maybe you're not thinking clearly if this is what you're like?
No, I don't think it's a problem, you son of a bitch.
Okay.
My God.
Why don't you just kiss my Scottish ass?
I'm a little nervous about you being on the phone, Sean Connery.
Don't be nervous, you giant bastard.
Brittany, why can't you just be you? I mean, that's what got you where you are today. That's what's responsible for your success is just being little Brit that we love.
I know I'm hot, aren't I? I'm incredibly hot. It's the best thing that ever happened to California is when I came to move here and did all these things with the crazy K-Fed.
I think Brittany has a whole new career. I got to be honest. These are bad voices.
Yeah, it's incredible how talented I am. Also, look at my bloody vagina.
Oh,
oh,
I've
wow.
got to go buy some tampons.
Okay, all right.
Ah, my crotch.
Is it hot?
No, that's Lindsay Lohan.
Okay. You know, I've been evaluating my Hulk Hogan impression that I do, Ralph, on the show.
Oh, it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. You kidding me?
I heard it on the radio this weekend, and it really sounds more like Mr. T than it does like Hulk Hogan. I'm
no,
sorry to say.
No, it's spot on, and I insist that you do it for Layla. We're going to have you do that for her when we get her on
the
phone.
Don't think that's going to be necessary.
Well, you're going to have a hard time stopping me from saying it.
728 on the Kevin DeBee Show on K-Rock. What about the K-Rock World Tour Destination number 4, kids? What about this? What about a qualifying prize starting this morning? In fact, later this hour on the Kevin DeBee Show, we'll give you tickets to see the band Paramore and My Chemical Romance and more at something called the Bamboozle Left Festival. This is a new show, April 5th and 6th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Those bands are just among the many that will be performing, including All American Rejects and a bunch more. And every time you win those tickets, you qualify for the grand prize drawing we do Friday to see Paramore in Berlin, Germany.
Yes.
All right, Berlin.
Nope.
Berlin
nope,
it's, in Paris.
No, it's right, Paramore, Rodney.
Favorite bands. Can't
the city
believe
is
it.
Berlin. The band is Paramore.
Berlin,
so that's
getting back together again for the world tour. Berlin,
not at all. It's
Terry Nunn.
It's Paramore, though.
So hot.
It's
sexy.
The city of Berlin, not the
all
band.
All right, Berlin, Metro.
Anyway, your chance to qualify coming up later this hour on the Kevin DeBee Show. Speaking of Paramore, I think of that band and I think of Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico's little girlfriend Haley from the band Paramore that he loves so much. And mm-hmm. I think about his fingerless gloves. And then I think about oh my God, is that still going on with Dave and Yasmin, the former Miss Double December? You saw them over the weekend, Ralph, and they're still dating?
Yeah, but just barely. It's really on the other end. It's on the other side of the mountain, as we say.
Really?
Yeah,
really? What's going on now?
I think it's starting to spiral. Starting to spiral down the drain.
Oh, boy.
Now that the holidays are over, you think maybe the rose is off the bloom or whatever that expression is?
I think Dave just thinks he's got game now. He's just good to go. He doesn't really...
It's Dave's fault?
I get the sense. They showed up at the Santa Anita racetrack, and Dave could not have paid less attention to her. She was standing by herself talking to people. He was standing with, you know, kissing up to Psycho Mike and just hanging out with him. I was like, Dave, you got your smoking hot girlfriend here. Oh, I don't need to stand with her.
Oh, well, my God.
Is he just trying to be cool and, like, you know, no PDA and give her space,
no,
maybe?
No, I think he's just lost interest. I think he thinks he's on to bigger and better things now.
What are you talking about?
Give him some credit. The no game game got him here. Why change what works? I mean, he's like the Patriots. Why, you know, why throw a chink in the armor?
I would say that you may have a point, Psycho Mike, until Yasmin told me that Friday night she gave Dave the heads up, said, look, I'm going out with my friends, I'm going to get drunk, I'm going to want a hump. So leave your phone on. I'll be calling you later for a booty call on Friday night.
Nice.
And that sounds like the best possible call ever, right?
You didn't even have to go
ever?
Out.
Right. You don't have to, just have to wait in the bunker, just wait for the call.
Yeah.
Like Hitler waiting for the end of the war. And she says to me, and I called him 6 times. He slipped through all of my phone calls.
Wait, hold on a sec. Let me make sure I understand this. All Dave had to do was pick up the phone, and she was ready to come over and bone him Friday night. And she's a former Miss Double December, and he's the King of Mexico?
She's horny and drunk, and he sleeps through her phone calls.
Oh, no.
By the way, a month ago, before Dave tagged that for the first time, he would have crawled naked over broken glass for 200 miles to get a shot at that.
I guess Dave doesn't need her anymore. I guess he's not interested.
Nope. I answer phones for a living. I don't want to bring my work home with me.
I've already had sex with her. I do not want to get out of bed to go do it again.
So stupid. I have to stay awake all night waiting for a phone call. If I was waiting for Yasmin to call me to have sex, whatever it would take. You could pump me full of a bottle of Ambien. I'd still be wide awake, eyes wide open.
Whatever.
I would be too. I'd be on the porch, man, just waiting for her to drive up. I'd be so ready for that.
My eyes were going bonkers. I was so tired.
I'd have toothpicks propping up my eyelids. I'd get an 8-ball. I'd do whatever I had to do to stay awake for 48 hours.
Do you think it's because now Dave is under the illusion that he can pull hot chicks?
Yes.
He doesn't understand that Yaz is a fluke. She's just a superwoman, and he's the luckiest man in the world. He thinks this is his life, right?
He thinks she's the first in a long line. That's what she is now.
That's going to be a sad come down.
Look at Psycho Mike. He doesn't pay any attention to the girls, and they all come up to him. That's what I'm doing. I said, Dave, look at Mike, and then look at yourself, and then look at Mike again.
You're wrong.
And then look at yourself.
You're wrong.
Again.
I will have all the hoes all over LA.
We look a lot alike.
from Al Segundo to Montebello, I bang all those.
Apparently, there was quite the chatter at the Santa Anita racetrack for K-Rock Day on Saturday between about Dave and Yasmin. At least there's no danger Dave will ever get anyone pregnant because you got to figure his sperm is as lazy as he is.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
Look how far the egg is away.
This the shell of the egg, so impermeable. I'm sweating.
Down and take a nap in the seminal fluid.
I wish I had my little sperm mattress here. Sperm mattress, by the way.
I miss it back in the bunker of the testicles. I had a space heater in there.
I got it at Walmart.
Just unbelievable, that guy. Oh, my God. Well, listen, congratulations to our latest winner here at K-Rock. It's David Calderon from Lakewood, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Just picked up tickets to something brand new we just announced this morning. It is called the Bamboozle Left Festival. I can't say I love the name, but I do like the lineup with All American Rejects, with Paramore, with My Chemical Romance, and more. That show is happening April 5th and 6th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Complete details at krock.com. And, of course, already David is eligible for Destination Number 4, the K-Rock World Tour 2008. We'll do that drawing on Friday morning to see Paramore in Berlin.
All right, Berlin live in Paramore.
Nope.
Can't wait. Go, Terry. None.
Mike, do we have our guest? Is Miss Ali on the phone yet?
Yeah, she's not on hold yet, but it looks like it's her.
Is chatting her up.
Fantastic. Ralph, how much do you love The American Gladiators? All?
I love it so much. I love the original a ton. And when I heard it was coming back, I got very excited, but I was nervous because I said, what if it's not as good as I remember? And now it's even bigger and better than it was, and it's one of the biggest hits on television. They've already renewed it for a second season.
It is an enormous smash hit, and our guest on the phone is the co-host of American Gladiators. Of course, she is also the super middleweight boxing champion of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, Layla Ali, back on the Kevin Beach Show. Come on, Layla.
Hi.
Look, I know that you're proud of the work that you do, and after you had this show in the can, you thought, well, that's a pretty good show. But even you guys who work on the American Gladiators have to be shocked at what an enormous TV hit this is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we pretty much thought it was going to do well because obviously we're behind the scenes and, you know, you see every day, you see what it looks like when you're taping it and everyone's excited about it. But we're just happy that it took off. You know, like we're already getting ready to do casting calls for our second season on February 2nd. And so many people are excited because I get people coming up to me all the time asking me how to get on the show. So now's their chance to log on to NBC.com and get all the information, find out when we're coming to their area, and they can try out for the show.
Mm. What was it that appealed to you, besides the paycheck, about doing this show? Why did you want to be involved in it?
Well, I, first of all, like was watching the show when it came on before,
right,
back in the day. And I love watching competition. I love seeing the average person, you know, this athletic, in shape, come in there and just be confident and go up against these gladiators. You know, I'm always rooting for the contestant. So it's definitely a lot of fun for me to watch. And, you know, I didn't want to do just any hosting job, you know, so this is perfect because I enjoy what I do while I'm doing it.
I was wondering, Layla, when you were first got on the show, did you try any of the activities yourselves? Because it looks just punishing from watching it as a viewer. They look really tough.
Yeah, I haven't even had the chance. I'm so busy while I'm there on the set. But I always look at that eliminator and say, I would love to just go through that obstacle course.
Right.
One day. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Who impresses you among the current gladiators? Who are the ones that you think are really just the real deal?
I like Crush because she's actually a fighter, you know, outside of the show. She's an MMA fighter.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times they use her for anything where she has to do wrestling, grappling, fighting. So those contestants really have a hard time with her because she really knows what she's doing. She's not just an athletic girl that looks good trying to compete, you know. She knows what she's doing. So really like Crush, and I also like Wolf a lot. He seems to have really good skills, so you know, I always feel sorry for people when they have to go up against him on the rings or something like that.
You know, Layla, that's a pay-per-view I would gladly spend my cash on, is Layla Ali versus Crush in the ring.
She wouldn't have a chance.
Now, you mentioned the auditions for the next season of American Gladiators coming up. Did you say February 2nd? You said Groundhog Day is when it is?
February 2nd, yep. The first casting call is going to be in Denver, Colorado. And then, like I said, log on to NBC.com and find out what other areas we're going to.
Okay. Do you think it's like American Idol? We're all watching the early episodes of American Idol, where the people who have no chance show up just because they love the show or they want to be on TV or they've just got some rich fantasy imagination that they're good. I mean, do you just have the wimps of the world showing up and thinking they can really compete in a gladiator environment?
I don't have anything to do with the casting calls, but I'm sure there is. I mean, you know, you're always going to get that. You're always going to get people who think they can do it, you know, and it's good for them to have confidence, but if they can't, they're not going to be able to. So, you know, we're looking for the best of the best, and there's thousands of people who actually compete, and only a few of them actually make it, so.
Psycho Mike, why aren't you on this show? No one loves domination more than you do.
And you're in great shape. You're a bodybuilder and a weightlifter and all that stuff. Why don't you go on the show?
I really don't want to subject the gladiators to what would be the world of hurt.
Oh, I see. You're being sympathetic.
Yeah. That's I don't want to bring them into Mike Town.
You got to have that thing, though, because in the end, you know, when it comes down to that eliminator, that's what really beats people is that the eliminator. So
they look exhausted about halfway through that thing. It's just brutal.
And then after all of that, you know, TV involved. So after all that shooting all day and then having to go do that, I think it just really gets people in the end.
That's an interesting question, Leila. What are your shooting days like? Because you must be going all day long setting up the stunts and having the guys run through it and everything like that.
For the first season, we were a little bit rushed, and we actually shot a lot of it in a matter of days. And the hours are just sometimes you have a 17-hour day.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's not for each contestant. I mean, that's for me as the host.
Right, right.
Not everybody's competing, but yeah, it's a lot of work.
You and the Hulk, sure. What's it like to work with Hulk Hogan?
What's it like work? Oh, he's a very sweet guy. He's laid back. You know, he just comes, does his job, and then relaxes. I mean, he's like me, you know.
But I always wonder about a guy like the Hulkster, because I've never seen him. I mean, even on his reality show, it always seems like the guy is on. It never seems like there's a moment where he's just sitting back on the couch and just saying, hey, pass me the nuts, would you?
He doesn't seem that way to me. On his reality show, that's the first time I saw him, and
to me, he didn't seem like he was always on. I mean, he has a certain personality about himself, but he's pretty much a laid-back kind of guy.
You know, Layla Bean does a great Hulk Hogan impersonation.
Yes, I do not. I do not.
I'd like you to take a listen and see what you think of Bean's Hulk impersonation, okay? Go ahead, Bean. Go ahead.
How dare you do that to me, brother?
That was it.
That's all we get.
I don't do it. I don't do impressions, Ralph. It was a one-off that they've tortured me with ever since I accidentally did it one time on the air. No, there's only room for the one Hulkster, I'm sorry to say. And he's on American Gladiators, NBC, Monday nights at 8 o'clock. So do you know anything about the episode we'll see tonight, Layla?
I think tonight we have a 46-year-old woman competing. And, of course, everyone makes a big deal out of her age. But she's actually a very athletic woman and does very well. So I think a lot of people are going to be surprised.
Yeah, it is a smash hit sensation. And again, as Layla said, go to NBC.com for details on the Denver auditions. And then I'm sure they'll be having them in other cities after that if you want to be part of the magic that is American Gladiators back on top after all these years. Layla Ali, thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thank you.
I was going to date rape you, but I'm too tired. Maybe you could rape me instead.
Yeah. That's so sad.
That would be easier. It's just too much work to rape. 7:55 on the Kevin and Bean Show, Monday morning. Don't forget, Paramore in Berlin. Your chance to qualify.
Berlin.
Oh, Rodney.
Live in concert.
No. The city is Berlin. The band is Paramore, Rodney.
All right. Live at Cantor's.
Another chance to qualify coming up at the 8 o'clock hour here on the World Famous Carrick. Plus, brand new Scientology audio/video you've not yet heard. This is new, and I think you're going to like it coming up just after the news at 8. It's weird. I don't know who inside the church is leaking all of this audio that's been around for years that only people inside knew about, but now we're getting a glimpse into their world, and it's fascinating. So that's coming up after 8. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat now for Monday morning, 7:56. What's going on?
Well, I have been talking about the annual Screen Actors Guild Awards that were held last night in Los Angeles. The 14th annual awards were televised last night on TNT. I thought it odd that the Closer was nominated for everything. Look, I know it's a real good show.
Uh-huh.
But it's you know, it's basic cable. I mean, it's the most successful show on basic cable, and I know, you know, it's popular. But
is it on TNT? Is that what you're suggesting?
It's on TNT, yes, and it was nominated for every possible award, including Best Actor in a Musical Film, which I thought was strange.
Huh. Yeah, no kidding.
No, it's a joke, of course.
By the way, you are joking there, but when I saw that it was nominated for a Best Ensemble Television Drama, I thought, well, that's just crazy. I mean, if ever there's, I mean, it's like Monk. It's a one actor hit show.
It's pretty much her. Yeah, I mean, there's a good supporting cast, but it's not like everyone shares the screen time. You know, it's all about her. The awards were given out last night, as I mentioned, really quickly. Let me go through the awards for you. The best performances in movies, Daniel Day-Lewis won for There Will Be Blood. He dedicated his trophy to Heath Ledger, which was a very poignant and touching moment. Julie Christie won for best female actor in a leading role in a film for Away From Her, the film about Alzheimer's. I do, too. Being in SAG, they send you these screeners sometimes so you can vote knowledgeably.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the films they sent me, but I haven't got around to seeing it yet. So, obviously, I didn't vote for her. But I'm sure it's quite good. She looks great, too, by the way.
She does.
For those of you who don't know, Julie Christie was one of the sex symbols of the 60s. In terms of British cinema, she was the it girl for many years. And then she sort of faded away and didn't work all that much. But she looked great on stage last night. Kevin would think she was, you know, hag because she's 50-something.
Should throw her in the oven at time when it did
longer. Christy,
good her man.
Javier Bardem won for Best Supporting Actor in No Country for Old Men.
I believe we have a clip from his acceptance speech.
Javier?
I'd like to dedicate my award to Heath Ledger.
No, that was Daniel Day-Lewis. Ruby Dee won for American Gangster as Supporting Actress. Best Actor in a TV Series Drama, James Gandolfini. Edie Falco won. No, it's Edie Falco, not Falco. Very different. In a comedy series, Alec Baldwin and Tina Fey both won for female actor and male actor. Sopranos won for best ensemble in a drama. The Office for best ensemble in a comedy. So those are your SAG Awards. I got an angry email from Craig. I've been talking about the SAG Awards all day long, and I got this email from listener Craig. Ralph, how can you possibly support an award show that does not in any way support or acknowledge a performance as great as Omar Nicholson Pacino's in Cucamonga Heat?
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross.
Yeah.
I think Omar's movie Cucamonga Heat was released outside of the window of eligibility for this year's SAG Awards.
I believe so, yeah. It was never released here in the States. I think that was part of the problem, too.
Right.
So it was a big hit overseas, but...
huge.
Find it on YouTube, though.
Not yet released here. Yeah, you can find that on YouTube if you're so inclined. Unreal. ABC's TV show Lost is coming back this week. But just temporarily.
Exactly.
With the writer's strike on, although the show's been renewed through the 2010 season, there's only 6 episodes. And so we're going to see those and then spend another 2 years waiting for it to come back.
I guess I'll watch, but, you know, previously I was watching even though I didn't enjoy it because I was so invested in the story. Now it's been off the air so long I don't really remember the story. I don't know what reason I have to tune in.
I got
to
say the season finale got me going again, though. You know, where you some inkling. Mm. You at least know they're getting off the island.
Don't care.
And I want to know who's in the cast.
But they have to go back. Because that's important.
Yeah.
Somehow. Christopher Walken and Charlize Theron have been awarded Harvard University's very special awards of Man and Women of the Year. This is the award every year given by the Theatrical Society at Harvard called the Hasty Pudding Society. And so the two will be roasted and given separate ceremonies in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where the school is, of course, and celebrated for their work. So Chris Walken and Charlize Theron, congratulations to them. I'd like to give Charlize my own hasty pudding.
You know what I'm saying?
That answer is true.
Yeah.
Great thing about the Hasty Pudding Award is that the guys always have to dress up as a chick. That's part of the ritual. When you show up, you have to dress up in drag. So Christopher Walken's going to be dressing as a woman.
He will not make a pretty woman.
Oh, he's going to be gorgeous. I know. You want to have sex with me. Look at my voluptuous bosom. It's going to be hot. And interesting news coming out about Stone Temple Pilots reunion. How about that?
Oh, now that's interesting.
Billboard.com says that after Velvet Revolver finishes its spring tour, Scott Weiland has announced he will rejoin his old band for a few shows this summer. We'll give you more details as they come along.
Okay.
Very nice.
Let's see. Top 10 movies this weekend, really quickly. Meet the Spartans edged out Rambo, believe it or not, for the opening weekend. Meet the Spartans made about $19 million. Rambo only made about $18.3 million in its debut.
I hadn't even heard of Meet the Spartans until the middle of last week. It was the first time I ever saw a commercial for it. And for my money, I mean, it just came right out of nowhere to take number one.
Comedies and horror movies, guaranteed good opening weekend.
Right.
I saw Rambo this weekend. It is a dark, violent film, yet I oddly enjoyed it. Not enjoyed like, ooh, made me giddy and excited afterwards, but sort of like, that was an interesting take.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot less sort of super heroic and fantastic.
Fantasized?
Let's say that. than the previous Rambos. 2 and 3 were sort of, as Stallone tends to do with his sequels, get more and more sort of outlandish. This was much more realistic, but
not violent enough. You were saying off air.
Yeah,
you would have preferred to see more graphic death.
Not enough heads were blown off into a pink mist for me. That's just me. 27 Dresses was third. Cloverfield, Untraceable, Juno, The Bucket List, There Will Be Blood, National Treasure, Book of Secrets came in at number 9, and Mad Money was number 10 at the box office this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays, Alan Alda, very talented actor, started MASH for many years. He is 72 years old today. Dan Spitz, guitarist for Anthrax, is 45. Joey Fatone from NSYNC turns 31. Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys is 28. Elijah Wood turns 27 years old today. And the Lego, everyone's favorite toy, the Lego, celebrates its 50th birthday today. Happy birthday, Lego.
Happy birthday. You're waiting for it to say something?
Lego. Didn't everybody love the Legos?
I did. They were fun.
We all played with Legos, didn't we?
Absolutely.
At some time or another?
Mm-hmm.
I still used like little helmets from the Lego Knights as condoms for my small wee-wee.
Wow. Maybe some self-editing there, Michael.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Wow. What's going on?
I think I think, Lisa, the thing I liked about Ralph so much is that he was great on the radio. I mean, there's no question he was an important part of the Kevin and Bean show for the decade that he was with the show.
Absolutely.
Bean, I'm still alive.
Yeah. But then he'd go off and he'd do a TV show and he'd be fun on that. And then you go see him in a big screen movie and you go, wow, the guy, the range of talent that he showed. And that's why it was so sad that day that he came in with the new Scientology tape and then he started his own car after the show and then it blew up in the parking lot and we lost
warned him.
Come on.
We
did
warn him. We told him to send Dave out.
We said, always send a Mexican to start your car.
I couldn't wait for Dave to get to the car. I didn't have that kind of time. I wanted to leave before noon.
Oh, it's too far. You parked in the far space. I can't even make it today, Ralph. I don't know what you're talking about.
This is my friends. The carefully crafted defenses around Scientology are starting to crumble.
It would appear.
Yeah.
Word is being leaked. Videos are slipping out. It's all over the internet.
It is weird because there has been a general uneasiness from non-Scientologists about the Scientology religion for a number of years. But it does seem to, like, right now it's in the crosshairs. We got that interview with Anonymous, who plans to bring Scientology down next hour. And this is something even unrelated to that. This is new video, I guess, that has been internal only until it recently got leaked. Is that right, Ralph?
Yeah, here's the thing about Scientology is that the inner workings of the religion, if you will, have always been sort of closely guarded secrets, privy only to those who actually participate. Other than that, you got very little information out of this group. You could read Dianetics, I guess, or that kind of stuff, but you never really got to see any of the recruitment materials that they use, any of the internal sort of memos or classes that they teach. And now, all of a sudden, since the Tom Cruise video got leaked, all kinds of stuff is coming out, and this is an introductory recruitment video that apparently they would show in Scientology when you went in for one of those sort of orientations to see whether you'd be interested in the church or not.
Interesting.
Now, bear in mind, this is someone apparently shot the screen of this video while it was being played and then posted it on the internet. So it is, two generations removed. So the sound quality isn't great, but you can still make out pretty clearly what the intent of this video is. I found this at the website for The Sun, which is a newspaper in Britain. They I don't know where they got their source from this, but apparently this is an actual video from some years ago used to sort of indoctrinate people into the ways of Scientology. And you will not believe some of the stuff in this video. It's spectacular. Starting first and foremost with the introduction, which is a very stern-looking fellow just standing in front of the screen, speaking directly to the camera.
Let me interrupt you right there. You know what? When I saw the video, Ralph, the first thing I thought is this guy works for the Hansa Corporation. We're watching a Lost video in the bunker.
If you listen to it, it sounds exactly like someone doing a parody of one of those movies they would show you in, like, PE class, when they were talking about the reproductive system or something. Yep. All you need is to hear the projector going with the edits, the skips in the film. But this guy talking to you, and when he gets towards the end, you'll think it's a parody, but I swear to you, it's real. Here he is talking about how you should make your decision for or against Scientology.
If you leave this room after seeing this film and walk out and never mention Scientology again, you are perfectly free to do so. It would be stupid, but you can do it. You can also dive off a bridge or blow your brains out. Whoa. That is your choice.
Come on!
Wow. It's like rough, it's the same thing, almost.
It's stay here, live, go, and die is what they're
saying.
Pretty much. You can leave if you don't like it. That would be stupid, but you can do it.
That's a little heavy-handed.
If you stay in Scientology, you're going to make a lot of people happy.
But if you don't walk out that way, if you continue with Scientology, we will be very happy with you. And you will be very happy with you.
But mostly, we'll be very happy with you. And that's what really matters. Then they go into the hard sell. They have a little sketch where the guy is talking to the girl who works at the bookstore there at the Scientology Center. And they just think you should just buy everything on the shelves.
So I would recommend that you get this package for a start.
Shouldn't they also get a copy of Dianetics, The Modern Science of Mental Health?
Of course. Then they'll see the adventure of it. And they're at liberty to buy any of these books. They'll want to own them sooner or later anyway.
You're going to get them sooner or later, so just buy them now.
You're at liberty to buy them? Nobody's going to stop you if you want to give us money for books?
Then they interview a guy who works inside the science labs there at Scientology, who has charts and graphs. So if it's on a chart or a graph, it's got to be true.
Sure.
He talks about how if you do this auditing where they cleanse your spirit or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is that? I don't understand the auditing. I've heard that term a lot, Ralph.
Auditing is the process by which you remove the evil thetans from your spirit.
That's where all the negative thoughts
that's
come
right.
from. That's right. The stuff that stops you.
These are the
life.
Spirits of aliens who have died or have been stuck inside your body. And what you need is to release these thetans, and then that will make you eventually the state of clear is what you're looking
okay.
for. So that they don't get in the way of your goals and desires any longer. And here he's got charts and graphs that show what happened after you do auditing. Your personality gets better and you get smarter.
Now, these graphs are done before and after a person has received 12 and a half hours of auditing, or what we call an intensive. These are personality traits. These weren't what they were before the person received auditing, and these show how they were improved. Also, the person's IQ or intelligence increased, and he became 14 points brighter.
Got 14 points smarter.
Really?
After just 12 hours of Scientology.
Why is this not in our schools?
It should be, Lisa. It's on charts and graphs, people.
My God in
it's
heaven.
It's fact. Look at the I have a chart here that I wrote myself with crayon, and it says that I'm smarter now.
How does it make you smarter to be audited, though?
Because you're getting all the negative stuff out of the way so you can function at a higher level, Bean.
I don't get it.
So the interviewer in our little video asks the dude with the charts and graphs, well, is it like psychiatry or psychology? Oh, bad question to ask our man with the charts and graphs.
Does that mean that Scientology and psychology are similar?
Oh, no. But it shows you what happens when you address the spirit, not the brain. Even the theory of evolution has never proven that something else isn't making it all happen. Psychology and psychiatry are proven failures. Stone Age.
Stone Age.
Stone Age. They're
well,
proven
you know,
failures.
I was down on Sunset Boulevard last week, and I saw that museum, the Psychiatry Industry of Death Museum that
right.
Scientology runs down there. They're way down on people who actually do get help, either through conversation or prescriptions from psychiatrists.
Well,
right?
they're proven failures, Bean. The facts are there.
Stone Age.
And you have to work on the spirit, not the brain. You see, that's where you need to focus. You have
okay.
to cleanse your spirit. The brain will take care of itself.
Gotcha.
But let me ask, as a person watching this video, what can Scientology do for me?
You may well ask the question, what are the advantages of Dianetics and Scientology for me? So, let's ask some people.
So they go into the endorsement phase of the video. And it's so funny, they show you John Travolta. But it doesn't say John Travolta, it just says actor. As if they're going
to go
a bunch of different careers and show you how some people have bettered their lives. Like, you're not going to say, hey, that's John Travolta up on the screen.
Right.
Here's what actor has to say.
Well, basically, there's no part of my life that Scientology hasn't helped.
Well, that sounds good, right?
Sure.
Let's talk to Ann Archer, who's billed simply as actress in this clip.
Scientology did make me feel freer to express myself. But what it really did for me was save my life.
Save my life.
And
just
how
even
did,
better.
How did you do that?
Well,
does
not
she
important,
say?
Lisa. No,
oh.
just saved your life. But I think no one puts it more succinctly than Kirstie Alley of TV's Cheers.
To tell you the honest to God truth, without Scientology, I would be dead.
See, she would be dead.
It didn't keep her from getting fat, though.
No, without Jenny Craig, right? she'd be fat. But without Scientology, she'd be dead.
But here's the question we always ask. Why, if Scientology has all these benefits, and if they have all these people who are willing to go public on the record and say, hey, these benefits have come to me through my association with the church, why wouldn't Scientology want this release? Why wouldn't they be delighted to see this being on the internet or on TV or on radio?
Because Kirstie Alley is a fat bitch.
That does not seem responsive to the question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking about something else. But I think
that why are they getting all bent out of shape and trying to shut down all these quote unquote leaked videos?
Because
you think that people would see this and go, "Hey, that sounds great. Tell me more."
It sounds nutty. That's why.
Because unless you're a believer, you can't even begin to understand what's being given to you, the gift that they're giving you.
When someone tries to tell me in 12 hours they're going to raise my IQ 14 points because I'm going to hold two metal rods in my hand, some dude's going to ask me questions for 12 hours. That's nutty. That's craziness. I'm not going to walk inside and take the personality test if I see this video ahead of time.
And the
I know that it's about you. You go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere and then you sign a huge check. And if you don't, they'll kill you.
See? Well, that sounds like a synopsis right there.
And the fact that they have to take time out to disparage, you know, a couple hundred-year-old medical profession of psychology and psychiatry.
Like they're proven failures.
That's right. Stone Age.
Double cross. Well, it's time to say goodbye now to Scientology at the end of our video.
But whatever you do, remember that you're always welcome in Scientology.
You're always welcome to come, but you can never leave.
Bum, bum, bum. All right. Ralph Garman, I'm glad you're joining us here because there is a mythical flight that allegedly leaves Southern California every Friday to return Sunday. We've heard about it. And now do we have a lead on the flight or are we still as full of questions as we were before we read the article?
Well, I'm glad that journalist Neil Woodburn put it down into paper what we've all been saying for many, many years now, which is we've always heard that in LAX. Flying out of the Southwest Terminal to Vegas, there is a flight that is just jam-packed with strippers. In fact, so full that very few regular travelers ever get on this flight because it is consistently the stripper plane. Now, from time to time, we've all flown to Vegas on a Friday afternoon, and you get on the plane and you say, oh, well, that one girl over there, she's got to be a stripper, and look at that girl over there. She's just carrying a makeup case and nothing else. She's got to be a stripper. But you've never seen what has been famously called the stripper plane, where it's packed full of strippers, and it flies out to Vegas every Friday.
And, Ralph, you've booked pretty much every flight looking for it, haven't you?
I have. Up and down. I've searched. I've gone. Sometimes I don't even have a flight. I'll just buy a ticket just to go from terminal to terminal, just to see if I can see a crowd of strippers waiting to get on a plane. And I've never seen the mythical Southwest stripper plane.
Damn it.
Now, a lot of people may not even have thought about this before, but many of the girls that you bump and grind with in Las Vegas on the weekend, they don't live there. They're not Vegas residents. They literally do just fly in for the weekend. They make a couple of $1,000s in cash and then fly home and go back to their regular lives, being a wife and mother or going to school or having another job or something like that. I mean, this is a flight that they take, some of these girls, every single Friday out there and then stay the weekend, make a lot of money, come back every single Sunday. That's the flight we're looking for.
And as Woodburn says in his article, reportedly, during big convention times, the weekends, I guess sort of he's referring to CES and others, that the reservations for this flight are reserved months in advance, strictly by strippers, where few mere mortals are able to secure a reservation.
Hmm.
I want to be on this possible plane!
Yeah, but does it seem likely that that would happen?
Well, again, Neil Woodburn, the author of this article, says a friend of mine claims he once found himself on this flight but can't seem to remember the details. As if some powerful force scrubbed his brain clean, leaving only a trace of glitter on his sweaty forehead.
This reminds me so much of the Donkey Show.
That's true.
Where everybody knows of it. Everybody talks about it. Someone knows a friend of a friend who's seen it, but no one can really put their finger on how to get there. And you know,
it's like Midget Town. Well, the guy's trying to find Midget Town all over
California.
That's right.
That's right.
Very true. All the different sightings.
This is why we wanted to bring it on the air. Now that the AOL news piece has been uploaded, we started thinking about it. We started talking about it. We started saying, look, our vast listening audience certainly would know if a flight like this existed. Would
they
not?
Yes. We got to have some strippers in our listening audience. Well, maybe
not,
because they just don't get up this early. But maybe you know a stripper, or maybe you yourself have been on the mythical stripper flight that flies out of LAX to goes to Vegas on Southwest Airlines. We need to know. When it is, what time on Friday, what's the number of the flight, what's the time of the flight, when do they leave, and how can I get on? That's what we need to know.
Let's take one call before we break. We got Bill from Los Angeles. He's on line four. And again, everybody else, if you've got any information about this stripper flight, we'll put the pieces together and nail it down so we know the only flight we're going to take to and from Vegas anymore. 1-800-520-1067. Bill, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're a police officer?
I am. I'm with the city of Los Angeles, but we're hired by LAX police to work behind the screening area.
Fantastic.
And on Fridays at Southwest Airlines Terminal 1, the flights start around 7 o'clock, and there's multiple flights, but it's all early morning flights on Friday. And the strippers come in. You can tell they're strippers. They got the fake tatas. They got the handbags. And when you go get screened, they get sometimes selected to get personally screened.
Yeah, I bet they do.
Obviously. But when they open up their luggage, there's like generally this, you know, slutty clothes, little sex toys. So you definitely know if the strippers are coming through. Any of the high heels, the low cut. I mean, it could be raining right now, and you probably have girls with, you know, barely anything on. You know they're strippers. And they're all Southwest Airlines, and they all return Sunday evening.
So yeah, well, I know they're sort of sprinkled out throughout the flights on Friday. But do you know, is there one specific flight where they really jam up on it? Is it the early one out, the 7 a.m. or something like that?
It is the earlier one, because usually we start at the terminals around 6 o'clock in the morning. And about 7 o'clock, it really gets packed, and it's generally the first flight out of there around 7:30.
All right, we got a lead.
The flight.
Why do they need to go so early, by the way? I mean, I guess those clubs are 24 hours. They could start dancing at 10 a.m. for all I know, right? I mean, it's not like they need to be there for 8 p.m. is the start time. I guess they can go earlier.
Yeah, you know, I guess they just want to get up there and get situated to their little hotels and get ready for the night, I guess. I don't want to ask them.
They want to get there early to work the legs and eggs breakfast special.
That's right. Bottomless Taco Bar, 12 p.m.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Tiffany, making her way to stage one.
Bill, you did not imagine when you were going through the police academy how great it was going to be a cop, did you?
No, you know what? When we started working there overtime, it was a eye-opening experience when we started working Terminal 1, because now everybody fights to try to get that terminal just so we can see the strippers on Friday.
Sure, of course, yeah. All right, Bill, so glad you called, man. Thanks a lot. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more calls. We've got people on the line, by the way, with different flights. We've got people on the line with different airports.
Wow.
So we're going to kind of get all this information together and see if we can nail it down, because that does seem like the flight we need to know about if it exists. Your call is coming up right after this on the World Famous Kevin.
Let me ask you a question about being a stripper. Can I see your boobs?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, the mythical Southwest Airlines stripper plane. Ralph found an article in AOL News last week from a guy who suggests that it does exist, although it seems like it's kind of one of those urban legends, like maybe you heard about it, but you don't know when it is, kind of.
And we're not talking about just the fact that strippers go to Vegas on the weekends. We know that strippers leave Los Angeles and go to Vegas. We understand that. But the story is that there is a plane that is just packed chock full of strippers. There's one particular flight that they all take out and go to Vegas every weekend to score the big coin before they come back and have to put up with, you know, Dave the King of Mexico flipping quarters at them.
Exactly right. Shift.
1-800-520-1067. Let's go to line 2.
Start your boners.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's go to line 2. Sasha from L.A. first. Now, a police officer right before the break who works at LAX called and said it's absolutely true. Friday mornings at around 7:30 is when the plane is. But Sasha is calling to disagree with that. Sasha, good morning. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
What's up, boys?
Sasha.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you know, my man?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been a brand consultant for years and ridden the bus to work on Southwest constantly. And I'm sorry, Ralph, you're a good guy, but unfortunately, any flight after 7 o'clock p.m. out of LAX has got 20% strippers on it.
Any flight after 7 p.m. on Friday?
On Friday.
That seems a little late, doesn't it, Sasha?
I know, but I'm telling you, the reason why I know is because, one, I've flown every single Southwest flight out of LAX all over.
Okay.
And more importantly, I've looked for the flight because my buddies and I have been talking about it for years. Every time we go to a bachelor party, we're always trying to book the key flight.
Right.
Sure.
And so you're not going to get the 100%, you know, 220 seats filled with strippers, but
right.
Anytime after 7 p.m., 20%.
20% is good enough.
That's not bad.
I would want higher.
Would you?
Frankly.
Well,
I think.
All right. Thank you for the call, Sasha.
Exactly.
Let's go to Amir and Encino. He'll give you higher. He's on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, Amir, you're not even talking about LAX, right?
No, I'm not.
What do you got?
We took a flight at 4.
Burbank can go to Pat. He's from Ventura on line 4. Pat, you're concurring with Amir. You say Burbank is the call for the stripper flight to Vegas?
Yeah, if you want to rest your arm on a boob, go out of Burbank because I've done it. And, I thought it was coincidence, maybe like the adult video awards or
right.
something
mm-hmm.
was going on, but it was just that flight out of Burbank in the morning.
This Friday. Is a Friday morning flight.
Yeah, and, you know, because so Vegas will send you out to go gamble and blow all your money and get on flight. You know, it's always kind of good leaving and coming with all those boobs everywhere.
So do you have more details in terms of what time or what flight number?
Well, I've flown out of there hundreds of times. Any time on Friday morning out of Burbank.
Right, you're saying the morning flight out of Burbank.
Not the 4:10 in the afternoon. Okay.
I've been telling people that's the ticket, and everyone, you know, thinks I'm lying, but it's all coming together now after hearing your guys' show.
All right. What percentage,
What
percentage would you say on the flight that you took, the biggest percentage of strippers on a single flight?
There were so many, even the stewardesses, I was kind of questioning them if they were strippers or not.
Even the stewardesses are taking their clothes off. That's how many strippers were on that flight. That's awesome.
Thank you
this
for that
doesn't help
Pat.
Me at all, by the way. All this conflicting information.
Line 3 is Ryan from HB. We're switching airports again here.
What?
Apparently, a lot of strippers go on a lot of from a lot of airports, I guess. Ryan, good morning. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What info do you have for us?
Well, good morning, guys. I was just going to say, you know, all these locations are right, and anything after 5 o'clock is pretty good. But Long Beach, JetBlue, it's either 5:30 or 5:55. That one to Vegas is at least 30% strippers, because I've gone on that flight consistently for years, and I see the same girls a lot of the times.
Okay.
JetBlue in the afternoon out of Long Beach.
5:30. It's either 5:25 or 5:55 out of Long Beach, JetBlue. You get TVs, you get tits, it's a great time.
Whoa. Hey, now with the language.
Okay.
30%.
Thank
so far,
you.
All we've got is 30%, though. I want more saturation.
Yeah, I agree.
You want 50% at least.
I want at least 50%. Yes, yeah. I want maximum stripper density.
All right, let's go to Matt in the LBC. Now, the bad news, I mean, he may have a higher percentage, but I think he's talking flights out of Ontario, so
what?
I don't know how many of the 909 girls you really want on your plane.
I don't want toothless strippers. I don't want meth strippers.
Matt, tell us about the Southwest flight out of Ontario.
You know, it does happen. Unfortunately, like I said, they are the IE women.
Oh.
But a lot of fake booze with a lot of the stench of the bad alcohol.
And this is a scar where my baby came out.
Yeah, really.
And this is a scar where daddy burned me with a crack pipe.
I don't want a stripper where I can stuff my 20s into her stretch marks.
Oh.
30-35% of them. I walk on the plane, me and my buddy go on a plane, and we start looking around like, oh, my God, what is all this?
All right,
but that's quantity.
30,
that's not quality. That's not quality, though. That's quantity. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we got to squeeze in two more because you're not going to believe both of these calls. Bill is in Chino Hills, and James, you hang on because we're going to go to you because you work for Southwest. Bill is in Chino Hills first on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead, Bill.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Good morning.
I was on Craigslist one day at work just surfing around looking for Max, and I think I searched for the word stripper in Inland Empire area, and sure enough, one result came up saying stripper bus from Southern California to Vegas for $100. And you read the description, and it talks about, yeah, the bus is full of strippers, and you get booze and TVs and your own lap dances. They got a pole on it and everything.
Yeah, these strippers make a lot of money in Vegas. They're not taking a bus.
No stripper worth her salt is taking a bus ever, anywhere, ever.
It's out of the IE, maybe. Right. Maybe the Inland Empire strippers, they do take a bus.
Maybe these are bus strippers.
They don't even work in Vegas.
They can't get into the clubs. They just work a bus.
Yep.
That's very sad. Very sad. All right.
Pathetic.
Let's go to James in Hermosa. He'll be our final call here. He actually works for Southwest.
Finally.
I don't know how much more official we can get than that. James, good morning. You're on K-Rock.
Subject.
How's it going?
James, what do you do for Southwest, my friend?
I'm an aircraft mechanic.
All right. Then you got to know. You have to have the skinny on this.
Yeah, I've worked other positions there as well, and I've been there for 12 years.
All right, James, give me a flight number, baby.
I wouldn't say there's any specific flight number. I would say it's more of an urban legend.
What?
Oh, boo! What are you talking about? We just got all this great info. Didn't you hear the other callers?
Yeah, but I've been there for 12 years. You can say any specific Friday, you're gonna be packed with strippers. Probably, I would say, from the early afternoon to the last flight. The last two flights, probably about between 8, 9, and 10 p.m. is when you're going to see the most on any given Friday.
But I would think strippers would want to cash in on Friday nights in Vegas, too. I'm surprised they leave so late.
No, I would have friends that work in Burbank that say that's just as a target-rich environment as LAX as well. Huh. And then even better coming back is coming back from Vegas on Sunday in the Southwest Terminal. You'll see everybody trying to go back to either L.A. or Burbank, and you'll see probably way more than anywhere else, either leaving L.A. or leaving Burbank.
So Sunday night might be the best way coming back to catch the strippers, you're saying?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Most definitely.
Okay.
I mean, that starts early in the morning, and I've been there, stuck there, you know, because we fly standby, trying to fly home all day. And you can just sit in that terminal there and watch for hours.
Wow. Good times. So it's really good news, bad news, Ralph, is what it sounds like to me. The good news is there are multiple flights and multiple airlines multiple times throughout the day where you can see lots of hot chicks. The bad news is it doesn't sound like there's the 100% stripper flight that you were hoping for.
Well, I might get the strippers going, but I won't get them coming. That's what you're saying. I mean, coming and going.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Of course you do.
So instead of going to Vegas, I'm going to get them coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the only problem is then they've had a whole weekend of having the humanity beaten out of them, you know, and you had to deal with them on the way back.
But aren't they so happy that they're sitting on $2,000, though? I mean, wouldn't that put them in a good mood? And they don't have to go back for another week? It seems like they might be happy strippers at that point.
Ralph will find out. He'll do the research.
Strippers are people, too. Naked people who may be willing to pleasure you for a price you negotiate later behind the curtain at a VIP room. Besides, there's no need to kill them, because most of them are already dead inside.
Oh, hate Psycho Mike.
I know.
He could not be more bad. You're absolutely right. It's 9:01 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Congratulations to Sal Ortiz from Los Angeles. He is going to go to a great show with My Chemical Romance, Paramore, and more. It's called the the Bamboozle Left Festival.
The Booper.
We'll do the grand prize drawing Friday morning of everybody who qualifies for that show to see Paramore in Berlin. It's 9:02. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning.
Heath Ledger's death has already increased his popularity, according to E! Online. They say that Amazon.com's best-selling movies of the week, 10 Things I Hate About You and A Knight's Tale, were in the top 10 for the first time since their release.
Wow.
How about that?
People snapping up all the Heath Ledger DVDs they can buy.
The only movie I remember ever seeing Heath in, and I was very impressed by his performance, was Monsters Ball.
Yeah.
I thought he was terrific in that.
Like Billy Bob's kid, right?
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
I remember seeing him in The Patriot with Mel Gibson, where he played his son in that, the Revolutionary War epic. And I thought he was real good in that, too. I mean, the guy's been pretty good in everything he's ever done.
Yeah, yeah.
Including Brokeback Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Suzanne Plachette passed away last week. I don't know if we talked about that or not. She was the star, of course, of the Bob Newhart show.
I don't think I knew that.
For a minute. You didn't know Suzanne Plachette passed away?
You didn't know she was on the Bob Newhart show?
I didn't know
Gilligan.
She died.
Yeah, she passed away last week. Cancer, apparently. She just lost her husband, Tom Poston, who was also on the Bob Newhart show, the one in, where he was the innkeeper.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
She's getting her star on the Walk of Fame this Thursday. Ooh, timing's everything. Yeah.
When you are the new honorary mayor of Hollywood, and is, by the way, soon, after a respectful distance from Mr. Grant's passing, will be applying for Ralph to get that position.
That's right.
You'll give them their stars while they're still alive. That's how you're going to roll.
That's going to be my motto.
Seems like a good
idea. Stars for the living. That's going to be my campaign promise. Bob Newhart's expected to speak at the ceremony, which will be held Thursday in front of Fredericks of Hollywood, where she requested that her star be.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, apparently she had a good sense of humor, so sad.
It is funny that one of the most recognizable things about Suzanne Plachette is her smoky voice.
Yes. Yeah,
that wonderful voice that was so recognizable. But I think that
came
the
from
reason
smoking.
She sounded like that is because she was a chain smoker for like 40 years, and it's ultimately what killed her.
Yeah. Sad news.
Yeah.
National Enquirer's got an interesting story this week. They say that David Copperfield has a 25-year-old former Victoria's Secret model as a girlfriend and had two children with her.
No
what?
Way.
Yes, that live in a multi-million dollar Las Vegas home that he set up for them. The Czechoslovakian model named Marie Petlikova.
Sounds hot.
Has released a statement from her attorney.
Petlikova.
Released a statement from her attorney saying David is a wonderful, loving, and caring father. And is quite the rapist, she added.
She didn't say that.
No, she did not.
Rape me.
Apparently, he's on Rape Victoria's Island, and he's got kids back in Vegas living in the
Yeah,
house.
No kidding. But if you have a Victoria's Secret what are they called?
Wow.
Yeah, I think Victoria's Secret model, I think, is what you're looking for.
Right. If you have one of those chained up at your lair in Vegas, why do you need to fly off overseas to rape when
you just told you she's had two kids? She's ruined.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. She's no good to anyone.
She's pointless now.
Oh,
the drapery.
What good is she now?
Should we arrest David Copperfield?
Yes, we should. But not for this.
Yeah, you don't want to find half a pound of thinly sliced roast beef.
Oh,
when you can go out for steak. You know what I'm saying?
lean steak.
Exactly.
You're putting too fine a point on that joke, I think.
Today's movies are good. I was going to do birthdays, but I realized I hadn't done the top 10 box office movies yet. So let's really quickly go through those. Meet the Spartans, number one at the box office this weekend.
No.
$18.7 million made it number one. Who's going to see that?
Who's in that besides Carmen Electra?
Kevin. Kevin's in it. According to
Lisa. He's still at the movie, right. But who's, besides her, are there any stars in this
film? I believe the guy from the Drew Carey show, tall dude, good looking, Dietrich Bader. Dietrich Bader, I believe, is in this movie.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Now that explains
Please
it.
Please enjoy.
Oh,
Kevin
so
Sorbo.
Popular.
Kevin Sorbo.
Nice. Uh-huh.
TV's Hercules. He's also in the film, I believe.
What's up with that?
And Carmen Electra. You know, three comedy powerhouses. That's why you go. With marquee names like that being, how could it not be number one?
I stand corrected.
Rambo. That's got to make Sylvester Stallone's ass chap, doesn't it? That Rambo comes in second to meet the Spartans. $18.2 million made it number two in its debut weekend. Then 27 Dresses, Cloverfield, Untraceable, another new movie. Only came in at fifth with $11.2 million. Juno, The Bucket. Weird. Oddly quiet after Juno.
Yeah, no kidding.
The Bucket List, There Will Be Blood, National Treasure, Book of Secrets, and Mad Money.
That's now, true. Mad Money, is that where Mel Gibson's in post-apocalyptic Australia and they're looking for gas?
No, that's Mad Max. Mad Max.
Okay.
Completely different film.
It's a callback to a joke from 3 hours ago. That's what Mike is doing,
by the way. That was funny then.
Yeah.
Folks, I don't usually make the movie recommendations, but who's with me on saying you ought to go see There Will Be Blood if you haven't seen that yet?
Yes.
It is an excellent movie.
Yes. I mean, it really is. It's a really good movie, but the performance that Daniel Day-Lewis gives is jaw-dropping. It's remarkable how good he is in that. I think he's better than the movie personally, but I agree. He's really, really good.
I said to you last weekend before you had a chance to see it that I think it's one of the most extraordinary performances I've ever seen. From minute one that he gets up on screen, you can't take your eyes off him. I mean, he's just doing things as an actor that I don't think I've ever seen anyone do before. And I know that sounds like I'm exaggerating, but it's that remarkable, I think.
It's a cliche to say someone is emotionally raw on the screen, but that's exactly what he is. He's just like a bunch of nerve endings. You see everything that's going on in this guy all the time. It's fantastic.
It's an uncomfortable 2 hours, I'll tell you that.
Very much so.
Almost 3 hours.
Yeah, almost
really.
3 hours.
Yeah. 7 hours, if you include dinner and then the drive home.
Uncomfortable night.
And don't expect sex after the film.
No.
No one's feeling like that.
Because no one wants to have children after that movie.
That's true.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Joey Fatone from NSYNC is 31 years old today. Catherine Morris, who plays the lead on Cold Case. You ever watch that Cold Case on CBS?
Yeah.
She's real good.
She's good.
She's 39 years old today. Nick Carter from Backstreet Boys is 28. Elijah Wood, the head hobbit in Lord of the Rings, is 27 years old today. Alan Alda from MASH is 72 years old today. And I know we're running short of time, but I wanted to mention this, that it is the 50th birthday of Lego.
Yeah.
I mentioned it earlier today that Lego celebrates its 50th anniversary today, and I got this email. Do you remember the crazy couple we see at all our live events who show up at around 4:30 a.m. and bring us donuts?
Yes.
Do you know the people I'm talking about?
I do.
Absolutely, yes.
I got an email from the female half of that crazy couple. They're nice, but they're insane. They're certifiable. Of course,
they met at one of our events.
They're lunatics.
Yeah.
Here's the email from Gina, the female half of that company, okay? All right, Ralph, I know I shouldn't ask, but I am anyways. My husband is a Lego fanatic. Yes, it's true. The man loves it so much that he works with it as part of his job. He opened his own Lego hobby shop where he sells Legos, rents out sets of Legos, and teaches classes in using Legos.
What?
Oh, my God.
Could you give him a shout-out on your last entertainment report today? His name is Ken Brennan of Mr. B's Bricks in Redondo Beach. Guy's got a Lego shop.
Who knew?
That's too much Lego.
Who's going to the Lego shop? Mr. B's Bricks.
Well, more people now that we know.
He's got a business that just is just Legos?
Now, I know Producer Lightning is obsessed with the Legos. Like, he goes to Legoland 3 times a year or something like that. It's the theme park, the Lego theme park. I know he loves that. But even he hasn't been to Mr. B's Bricks.
He does classes in Manhattan Beach, Redondo Beach, and other cities in the South Bay teaching kids with Legos. That's just nuts. Just confirms my idea that these two are just insane, this couple.
She doesn't say thriving business, does she?
No, she doesn't. Yeah, he does it on the back of a van, I'm sure. But he's got his own Lego shop. So happy birthday, Mr. B, and your brick store. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph's been talking about the shocking upset at the box office at the movies this weekend. Rambo, which everybody expected to be number one, was not. It got beat out by Meet the Spartans. And you know who's got to be very disappointed about that, Lisa?
Who?
You don't know, really?
Well, no, I do know. I was just
Sylvester Stallone, who's on the phone.
The opportunity to say it
right now on the Kevin B. Show. Good morning, Sly. Why are you still shooting at people?
Because they're going to see Meet the Spartans.
Yeah, what about that? What about you bring your beloved Rambo character out of retirement after 20 years, and it's not even number one at the box office in its opening weekend?
I can't believe it got beaten by Meet the Spartans.
Yeah.
It's Kevin Sorbo. For God's sakes.
Yeah.
TV's Hercules. I'm Rambo!
Yeah.
Who are you?
You're Rambo.
Who do you think you are? I'm Rambo!
Sly, do you think... Okay, that's fine. Do you think the problem is, and I've heard this complaint from Ralph, a guy who works on our show, is that your Rambo movie was maybe not violent enough?
I killed 83 people.
Right.
How many people did the Spartans kill besides the... Besides the comedy in the movie.
I don't know the answer to that.
What do they kill? Let me tell you something. When you're pushed, killing disease is breathing.
That's what I understand. Yeah. Now, you killed 83, but the other people on your team also killed a couple of hundred. So there's something like a body count of almost 300 in the Rambo movie.
What the hell happened?
Are you shooting up a kitchen?
got some pots and pans.
Sounds like it.
Now I feel bad.
I've heard that some of the deaths in the film are pretty graphic. You're putting like a football size hole through a guy's chest. You're blowing people's heads off. You're turning them into a pink mist.
Yeah, I got a 50 caliber in the movie. And it does some serious damage to a lot of Burmese. And I do cut a guy's head off. And I take another guy and I eviscerate him with a, I don't know, like a fountain pen or something.
Why are there flies buzzing around you?
God, there's a lot of dead bodies here!
Just rotting away there?
Yeah!
Wow. Now, I'm sure... Why are you yelling, Sly? What's going on with that? What is that about?
Because you can live for nothing, but die for something.
Die for something, right, okay.
You decide!
Okay, well, hey, is Rambo, is this it? I mean, the fourth movie, is this the last one now that your character, I don't want to give away anything to people who haven't seen it, but I think he does have a little bit of a change of heart at the end of the film, maybe?
No, this isn't the last. I'm coming back.
You are?
Yeah, well, you're going to make...
We're doing Rambo again, only this time I fight five-year-olds. How many five-year-olds does it take to beat Rambo?
I don't know. How many?
I don't know, but this joke will be a lot funnier tomorrow's show.
We're talking about that.